about that, my friends? Well, well, well. You turn around and suddenly the best show's back. And it's a Tuesday night and everything's all right, huh? Unfortunately, that's a good thing. I do have some bad news to announce, though. And this is a heavy one. The associate producer of the show for the past six or so months, AP Mike, has been removed from the program until further notice. And until then, we have associate producer Sebastian will be screening your calls tonight. Sebastian, how are you doing? Is Sebastian out there? Good. How are you tonight, Sebastian? Good. He said he's... Are you ready? You got big shoes to fill. AP Mike was one of a kind, but he's no longer on the show anymore. Now it's Sebastian. What happened to him? We removed him for... editorial differences, I guess is the most polite way to put it. I guess it'll be settled in the courts. So, best of luck to, AP Mike and all his future endeavors. And, that chapter ends, and now the chapter of AP Sebastian begins. And, no, Mike is here. If you think AP Sebastian. Mike's not going anywhere. I'll be gone before Mike's gone. There'll definitely be a... definitely be one of those scenarios. It'll definitely be a Doors Other Voices full circle scenario. Where... Jim Morrison is gone. But the other dudes figure they'll keep going. That's what this will be. Be best show with Dudio, AP Mike, Pat Byrne. They'll just keep the thing going. Probably do a soundboard of my voice. Trick everyone. Yeah. Hi. Welcome to the best show.
Yeah.
Just that the sounds will just be so jarring against each other.
Shut up.
Throw off my phone. Like... Different quality levels.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. Now I'm gonna talk for a while.
No, seriously. AP Mike's not going anywhere. This guy's an artist now. Songs, short stories. Somebody came up to me and said, "This guy's like catching a second wind now." Like, Mike's an actual artist. And you know what I said? It's like, yeah, I think you're right. I think he is. Guy's an artist. You show respect. My friends, the best show begins now.
Show, and it'll always be the best show. Show number one.
show. Back again. Another Tuesday night installment. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host. Why am I screaming? I don't know, man. What's up, guys? Best show's back. Took a week off last week to rest, recharge our batteries. Have a grand old time in the summertime. How's everybody's summer going? How's your summer going, Mike? It's okay? Hot? Hot enough for you? This week's not so bad. You sit back with a cold one? You know what I like, Mike? Ice water. Nice glass of ice water. What do you think of ice water? You like it? You like seltzer water? You like iced tea? What a nice quick check iced tea. Lipton. Ah, the good stuff. Only the finest. Only the finest tea leaves from the $2.50 container that Mike buys at the Duane Reade. There's no Duane Reade, though, is there? What, you got Walgreens? You're a Walgreens man? That's right. I know the score with Mike. He's a Walgreens man. I'm a Walgreens man, too. You have a card, Mike? You know what you do when you go to these places, want you to have the card? I think every place ever will let you, like, just let them swipe their own card for you. If you just, like, go, like, yeah, I don't have mine on me. They will swipe the store's card. I don't want them getting all my info. Was this enemy of the state? I gotta hand over everything just because I'm trying to buy that thing of Twizzler peel-offs? And those things are disgusting. Oh, boy. It's like a stomach ache in a bag. Might as well not... that's what they might as well just call it. Stomach ache in a bag. Those the Twizzler. Like, the flavors are unlike any flavor in nature. Oh, watermelon. Can you imagine if watermelon tasted like that trash tastes? Could you imagine? We'd all be horking all over the place, man. And there's the crack. Crack of the beer can. I heard it. The mighty Chiku steps up to the plate. It's like Wade Boggs. The Ted Williams. The batting average. What's the batting average, Mike? I can't hear. The door closed again. Tonight, the worst 100 characters of all time. We close it out. The dramatic conclusion of the three-parter. We fill in those final 30 slots. And the list will be complete. So many characters not listed yet. Jazzman's not on there. Billy Crystal's Jazzman. He didn't make the list yet. I might have to bump him. He might take number one away. Right now, Seinfeld is at number one as Jerry Seinfeld on the show Seinfeld. But he might get bumped. That might be a usurpation. Imagine that. As the late, great Mel Allen used to say, how about that? As far as I understood, I never actually watched a baseball game with him. I saw some baseball highlight show where they'd be like, match Mel Allen. Here's Boog Powell. Here's Greg Luzinski at the plate. The phone number, 201-3-323-4-8-4. That's the number if you want to get in on the action and call the best show. Music, what did we just hear? Oh, boy, with the good stuff we just heard. From the Straight Arrows. They've got an album called Rising. It's on the Hozak record label. And we heard Fruit of the Forest. What a great album. Can't mess with Hozak, man. They put anything bad out? I don't think so. They put like a million things out and everything's great. You throw a rock, you hit a great album on Hozak. And before that, the world premiere, Don Muro. We've played stuff by him before, Don Muro. Well, there's a new collection coming out called Hold on, I'll tell you what it's called if you'll just sit still for 1 minute. It's called We All Need Each Other. Recordings from 1968 to 1969. It's a cassette-only release on the Flannel Graph record label. Flannel Graph, the amazing label that has put out other Don Muro releases and also put out Rock, Rotten, Rule on vinyl for the first time ever. This cassette comes out, I believe it comes out next week. So, don't sleep on that stuff, man. If I just start coughing like that, like Neil Hamburger. Nah.
Why? Why did AP Mike, famous call screener AP Mike, why did AP Mike say that he didn't like cranberry sauce?
No, not doing it. Not doing it! That's why I got this refreshing $11 Starbucks drink. Oh, bump this thing. I got it. Tell you, I keep hitting that thing. Every time I bump that thing, it's a black mark on Dudio's otherwise perfect record. Arm placement of microphone one. Oh, here he comes. Nope, not during the show. I don't want to hear it, Dudio. Here he comes. And he left. What? I keep bumping this. I bump. Look, I just need to slide this a little bit. And then slide this drink a little bit. I just figured out the solution. Oh, fun times, fun times. Is anybody on the line not calling in about a worst 100 here, Mike? No? They all want in on the worst 100. All right, let's do some real fast. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Michael from Pittsburgh.
Michael from Pittsburgh. What's up, Michael?
Not a whole lot. Just listening to the best show, watching the Pirates game on mute.
You're watching the Pirates game on mute. How's that going?
Pretty good. They're tied with the Royals right now.
So that one guy on the Pirates is good, right? That one guy.
Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. He won the MVP a couple years ago, so he's probably our best player.
He seems like is he a good guy?
He's a really good guy, yeah. He does a lot of stuff in the community, and he's good with the kids. He's he's been a nice refreshment after the 20 years of consistent losing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you have a winning team. You got it all now. You got the Andy Warhol Museum. You've got the Pirates. What don't you
the
got?
Cynics?
The Cynics. I'll tell you one thing, man. I saw the Cynics a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Michael Kay took that head plant.
Michael Kay was singing a song, one song in on the set, and he missteps because the lights were so bright at this place, he puts the one wrong foot in front of the other. He goes off the stage and falls right on a concrete floor.
I heard it was bad. I heard Greg actually told me that you're the one who gave the cut the song sign when he didn't get back up right away.
No, that's not true. I was watching in the back. Suddenly, I didn't look. I only saw him on the floor, to be honest. I did not see the actual fall. I was listening at that point, and then suddenly I just stopped hearing him sing, and then I looked up and then saw he was laid out, that something was wrong. Terrible.
But they finished the set.
Yeah, he got back up, did the whole thing. I'll give the guy credit, man.
Tough trooper.
Yeah. That's a rock dude. Michael K. Look, he's a blabbermouth. Doesn't know when to zip it sometimes. But in the moment, that dude rose to the challenge. Because he calls this show and he talks so much. And then he's some people's favorite caller and some people's least favorite caller.
But, I love the guy, but yeah, I'm glad to see he got up from that, because I heard it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I am too. So what do you got? You got something for the worst 100?
Couple quick suggestions for the worst 100.
What do you got?
The first is actually a sidekick to one of the best 100 fictional characters of all time, the Penguin from the General Auto Insurance commercials.
The Penguin? What do you got against the Penguin?
I just think he's kind of inane. You know, he met him in the Arctic one time, and then they just kept throwing him in.
Next.
So the David Spade's flight attendant character.
Next.
All right, I've only got one more. Scott from the Scott Lawn Care commercials.
Well, that's pretty bad. That
just really offensive.
Yeah, it is. It's like he's the guy who's like telling the guy to like feed your lawn, right? That guy?
That's it.
Yeah, don't like it.
Couldn't be more subtle, you know, a company called Scott's having a Scottish guy named Scott.
Yeah. He's still not annoying enough to make the list, though. Thanks for the call. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Eric in Philly.
Eric in Philly. I bet that burns your britches there to hear a Pittsburgh guy be the first caller to the show, right? Just drives you up the wall.
I have nothing against Pittsburgh.
No?
No.
What do you got? What do you got for us, buddy?
I got two for the topic.
What do you got?
All right. So my first one, I think there should be some Chuck Lorre character representation on the list. So my nomination is Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's the worst character.
If you think he has any worse characters, I'd be happy to hear him, but I think there should be some representation on the list.
I don't know. What do you, somebody else has to be on there. Maybe what is bad is, you know who's worse is the guy who is the John Cryer character on Two and a Half Men. That might be the worst character ever.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. I don't know. Maybe I'm just mad at those Bazinga t-shirts a little too much.
Okay, calm down.
Yeah, you have a point.
Mad at a Bazinga t-shirt.
Yeah, I know.
What else you got?
One is the green M&M.
Those M&Ms in general are creepy. They're like, I mean, are we supposed to eat them or what? Like what? I don't get it. Too confusing, though. Thanks for the call. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Tim in West Hollywood.
Tim in West Hollywood. What's up, Tim?
Got two for the topic.
For the topic of the worst fictional characters of all time. Well, who do you have?
First up is the Can You Hear Me Now guy from the Verizon.
No, that's come on.
No?
No.
The second one is Mater the tow truck from Cars. Larry the Cable Guy's Pixar character.
Yeah, I didn't see that movie. Cars. I didn't see that one.
Is
that it? All right, thanks. I'm being told to go to the hotline to disregard these regular folk, the lunch pail crowd, the ham and eggers. I'm being told that they can take a back seat to this person who's on the hotline now. I'm being told. Hello?
Hello?
I'm being told that right on the hotline we have the director for the number one movie on the planet, Ant-Man.
Tom, can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's Peyton Reed calling in. I don't know if you're threat to the number one movie of the that's out in the world basically right now. Can you hear me?
I can. It's the director of Ant-Man, Peyton Reed. How are you?
I'm good. If my phone cuts out, it's because I'm on a really remote part of the Hawaiian Isles right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. All right.
Hey, hang on. Can you hang on 1 second, Tom?
Yeah, sure. Sure, okay. I can.
Two more pina coladas.
Oh, this is...
And then some, like some chips and guacamole. And maybe some of, if you have any sort of like, do you have some local dishes that I might enjoy?
I love...
That's great. Thank you so much. Hey, Tom.
I love how, to you, you're throwing chips and guacamole around as if no one else can get their hands on that. You have to go to Hawaii to get your hands on chips and guacamole.
Okay, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they were invented in Hawaii.
The research team will look into that. We'll get some answers. Yeah. First of all, Peyton Reed, congratulations to you.
Thank you, Tom.
For getting Ant-Man, Marvel's Ant-Man, all the way to being done and to being great.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you very much. And, you know, for those listeners out there who don't know me, I'm really not ordering guacamole. That was just a bit. That was just a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Is that...
I thought I could try. You know, I read when I was a kid that Spielberg and Lucas used a vacation in Hawaii after a movie, and and it just seemed like the cool thing to do or say. I apologize for that.
No, that's all right. I think everybody still realizes you're a humble guy. They realize you're.
Hang, can you hang on 1 quick second? Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I'd ask for 2 pina coladas. No. Just for myself. Just two. That's one. Not two. Hey, sorry about that.
This is terrible. Now, Ant-Man, Marvel's Ant-Man, Peyton, can. Can you tell us about when did you? Because you were not.
Is this Hawaiian chips?
This
is guacamole. Is this? I'd ask for local Hawaiian guacamole. There is such a thing. There is such a thing, ma'am. I'm so sorry, Tom.
Now that's all right. That's all right. And when you did the Ant-Man, right? Ant-Man.
I did. Yeah.
It started like a year ago, right? You came on pretty late in the game.
That's correct.
And what is it like to jump on a something moving that's already moving at that point?
Oh, it's really fun. It's really fun.
Is it good for your health?
It's good for your health. You just, you know, you dive right into the thing. There's no waiting around and sort of there's no downtime. There's zero leisure time. You just dive right into it. But yes, I came into the movie after another director had left the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not an ideal way to come to a movie, but I have to say I had a blast doing the movie. It was a really amazing experience and really got to get in there. And, you know, I didn't know for sure what it was going to be like working at Marvel, but I loved it because they really gave me a lot of latitude in making changes to the movie and really making it our own. And Adam McKay, who I believe you know.
Yes.
And Paul Rudd, who you also know.
Yes.
McKay and Rudd came on to do the rewrites of the script as I came on to direct. So, we really, those guys holed up in a room and started, you know, just working night and day on the script. And, I joined them for some of it and then immediately went to Georgia and started prepping the movie.
Yeah. And if you filmed it down in Georgia and it's like, that's like the film capital of America now.
It has become that, yeah. It's, you know, there's this thing where, you know, every so often, every couple of years, a new state has a tax incentive. And not only does Georgia apparently have a really good tax incentive, but they've just built this amazing Pinewood Studios Atlanta down there. And we were actually the first movie to shoot there. And they the stages are amazing. I mean, it really is. We were the first ones there, so it really felt like they had just taken the wrapping paper off the stages. It was great.
Now, when you're down there also, because you are a Southern guy, I guess for you, it's like you get to now put that white suit on now. You get to be back at home, right? Like,
wait, the white suit, are you saying that I directed in a white suit because I was in the South?
Well, like, you get, it's just to be more, like, in touch with who you are. You get to put the white suit on with black tie, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not Colonel Sanders. I just kind of wore whatever I would normally wear to,
That's not how, I thought that's how you directed, like, that was your version of Alfred Hitchcock, was that you would wear your white Colonel Sanders suit.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I think I did wear a seersucker suit with white bucks every day that I directed. Yes, uh-huh. That must be what you're talking about. Yes.
Now, Peyton Reed, director of Marvel's Ant-Man, tell me this. There's a thing that's been a secret history of the best show with you, going way back to the beginning of the best show that no one has, it's never been acknowledged publicly, I don't think. Has it?
I certainly have never acknowledged it publicly. Have you ever spoken about this?
No, I haven't.
Are we actually going to speak about this now? Is this
Should we?
Happen?
We might as well.
All right, so let's go back. The year must have been, what was it, 1998, 99?
No, probably would have been more like 2000, late 2000,
oh,
early
you're right.
2001.
You're exactly right, yes. I remember now. Do you want me to set it up?
Sure, why don't you set it up? You set it up.
All right, well, okay, so there had been a movie that had come out called Star Wars The Phantom Menace, the first of the prequel movies. There was a huge, as you remember, huge build-up to the movie coming out. People went out of their minds. Then people went and saw the movie, and I think it's safe to say that the majority of the audience might have been a little disappointed in the movie, but it didn't keep them from being rabid about Star Wars. In some ways, it only increased it, because then it was all this conjecture about what was going to happen in the later movies. I think it was after, was it after Phantom Menace, or was it after the second one?
I think it was after Phantom Menace, but the second one hadn't come out yet.
That's right. So there was all this conjecture about, I don't think the title had been announced.
No.
For the second one, is that right? Yeah, so,
So you called in.
I called into your show, and I told you that I told the audience that I was a disgruntled former employee at Lucasfilm. I was really pissed off because I left Lucasfilm under some very difficult circumstances, and I was going to share with the world all the secrets I knew about the upcoming Star Wars
the
movie.
You were the Star Wars insider, I think, was what you had been referred to as.
That's right.
And you started saying all these things about what was going to happen in episode 2, if I remember, I think is what it was.
That's right. I spilled some of the big secrets I spilled were, currently the current cut, if it had gone to the MPA, would definitely have gotten an R rating.
Yeah.
They're trying now to shave it back to PG-13, but guys, this movie comes at you hard. I mean, it is way, way darker. I mean, the way in the original trilogy, Empire Strikes Back, Chapter 2, the second of those movies went dark, this movie is gonna go darker. George Lucas has heard the fans, and he's just done a 180 from that first movie. It's going really, really dark.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I talked about the fact that there was a scene between, Anakin Skywalker and Amidala, Padme, whatever they were calling her, that was a love scene, but it was Anakin going dark, and it really
it was like assault.
Yeah, it was a really dark, assaultive scene. That was the one in particular that was going to maybe garner them an R rating. And then I think I even said the title of this movie. It was Star Wars Episode 2, Veil of the Sith, or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and that was. And the funniest thing to me was that there was a point where you said a phrase that made it sound like you had the code word on things, because what was Star Wars? What was it? Because one of the movies was like the fake title for it when they,
yeah, Return of the Jedi was the one I remember that the shooting title was Blue Harvest.
Yeah.
And what was the title? What was the I think the you said working?
Something about orange something? Did you say, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was orange.
Because it got a lot of traction on these Star Wars message boards. And
yeah.
People were just I think this guy's
which
real.
Which is really my goal.
Yeah.
That's
no, that
really
was
my goal. If you can get traction on a Star Wars message board, then you've really done it.
Yeah.
Then you're on the map.
Yeah. I think, and that did. It was so funny to see that get traction. And nobody knew. No, we've never said that was you until now, this many years later, 15 years later. We are now.
I believe that's what you call a revelation.
Yes, that's a hot one. Now,
did you know coming into the night show that there was going to be a revelation like that? That there was going to be
a full-on entertainment bomb dropped?
Exactly.
Of that magnitude? No, I did not.
Yeah.
Now,
it feels good, honestly, to finally get that out there and off my chest. I've been holding that secret for a long time.
Good. Good. I'm glad you got that off your chest, Peyton Reed, director of Marvel's Ant-Man in theaters now. Now, one thing, the big controversy about this movie, obviously, Ant-Man, is why, and this is from my community as much as anything, the fans who listen to this show want to know why Scott Lang, the Paul Rudd character, did not have orange hair the way he did in the in the comic books.
Okay, so is this in a comment that you've been getting more than once? Has someone?
Yes, it's pretty all encompassing here. We
okay. Well, let's get into it, I guess. Let's just talk about Scott Lang with orange hair. I don't know, was there an issue that maybe the colorist decided to give him orange hair? I mean, I remember in the, our movie very loosely uses, Marvel Premiere number 47 to steal an Ant-Man as its jumping off point. I don't think that Scott Lang in that issue had red hair.
Well. People on this side of the street.
Who's saying? Have you actually gotten?
Yes, there's a
what
few.
What do you get there on the show? Do you get mail? Do you get email? What do you get?
We get email. We get calls. We get tweets. We get message board posts. It's pretty. There's all means of communication here. So you're just saying that's a false thing that he should not have had orange hair. That's a non-issue for you guys. You did not consider Paul Rudd dyeing his hair orange.
No, I like the idea, and maybe if we were fortunate enough to be able to make a sequel to Ant-Man, we could retroactively, create a storyline where he had dyed his hair to sort of a Paul Rudd brown, because he was a cat burglar, and if he'd been a red-haired cat burglar, the first thing you do would be dye your hair like a reddish brown. So I was really, I have to say, I was unaware of that. I'd love to know who.
Well,
who,
I'm not.
Who was sort of leading the charge on that? But I don't know. Maybe whoever's leading this charge got an Ant-Man issue that the colors just the colors didn't really translate at the printer.
Like they didn't line up correctly. So you're saying it's a problem at the plant more than. So
it could have been a printing issue. I mean, it really could have been a printing issue. But I don't think I think we were ever planning to have Rudd dye his hair.
All right.
Red.
Now what? Give us something. Give us something that you haven't said yet about Ant-Man. Give us something that makes the people's wigs flip.
All right, I'm going to give you something right now. You already know this, but I don't think your listeners probably know this. You, Tom Sharpling, this is a double Tom Sharpling whammy. You, Tom Sharpling, gave me as a housewarming gift in, I think, 1997, 1998, a full set of 7-Eleven Slurpee Marvel Comics cups. Do you remember this?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, probably my favorite housewarming gift I ever got. I still had the cups.
You hear that, Mike? Class, I'm just saying it to my associate producer who thinks I'm low class.
No. This was absolutely a high class move.
Thank you.
And of course, Ant-Man was on one of those cups. Your collection, I'm assuming it was a collection, and that was what made the gift so special because there were a lot of them, and your collection went deep because there was an Ant-Man one. There was it was a really great gift.
They knew me at that 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they must have. Did you work at that 7-Eleven?
I might as well have worked there. For the amount of time I spent there.
And then, Tom, can we talk about a lotto scene? Can I talk about this?
Sure.
Can I talk about a scene that we shot for Ant-Man?
Now, this is a third bomb that's being dropped with Ant-Man.
Yeah, and this is the real truth bomb. This is a truth bomb.
Yeah.
So, Tom, I think Tom's being modest. I think that's what's happening here. Tom actually... came down to Atlanta, to the Pinewood Studios, where we were shooting Marvel's Ant-Man, and not only hung out on the Penn Technology stage for some time, but we shot a scene in downtown Atlanta. It was actually a montage sequence that ended up not making it into the movie, but I guarantee you it's going to be a part of the DVD and Blu-ray release. But, Tom, you had a scene with Mr. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd at Scott Lang went into a convenience store to purchase some lotto ticket. And who sold him that ticket?
I did.
That's right. Tom Sharpling had a scene with Scott Lang in Marvel's Ant-Man. And I have to clarify, that scene was cut.
It's not in the... Not theatrical.
We cut that entire sequence because it ended up that it was a point in the movie where we just decided to take that whole sequence out. It didn't really serve the story anymore, and it was one of maybe five really quick scenes in a larger sequence that we simply cut from the movie. But it will be on the DVD and Blu-ray.
So I'll be on the Ant-Man Blu-ray.
You will be in the supplemental section on the Ant-Man DVD and Blu-ray, and I believe that does qualify you to be nominated for a Suppy. For best supplemental material. So I don't know who your press people are on your end, publicists or whatever, but I would get them on that Suppy campaign as soon as possible.
For your consideration. So like for your consideration.
Yeah.
And a shot of me selling Paul Rudd a lotto ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was someday. Because that was fun. So that's the best Ant-Man scoop you got? That's it? Tell people about why. Why is Garrett Morris? Answer for people who don't know why Garrett Morris is in Ant-Man. Why does he play a cab driver in Ant-Man?
There's a brief moment at the end of the first sequence where Scott Lang uses the Ant-Man suit and shrinks down. He's very quickly thrust into all these situations. He's got to react. It ends with him, bulleting out a window and landing on the top of a car that's parked in the Tenderloin area of San Francisco. And we cut quickly to the guy's at the wheel of the car, and it's Garrett Morris. And I've been in screens where a couple of people have been like, why is that guy from Two Broke Girls in Ant-Man? And he doesn't really have one line, and they leave him. But the whole reason, and Tom, you know this, is that Garrett Morris is the original on-screen Ant-Man. Now, it was the small screen, not the big screen, but there was an SNL sketch, that's Saturday Night Live, for the uninitiated. It's also SNL, Tom. Let's face it.
Wow, this is... you are in show business.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really, really breaking it down for your listeners right now. was that season two? I think it was season two.
So there was a sketch where it had to do with all the superheroes hanging out.
Margot Kidder was hosting the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sketch called Superhero Party, and John Belushi played the Hulk, and who else was in that? The Flash, mixed Marvel and DC characters. So Superman was in it. The Flash was in it. And then, of course, they're all meeting and greeting, talking to each other as equals. And then Ant-Man shows up. And the whole rest of the cast becomes about, hey, second, what are your powers? How all that? And then they're just making fun of him and the entire rest of the sketch.
That was the tribute to the original Ant-Man, putting him in the movie. That was awesome.
As far as I was concerned, you could not make an Ant-Man movie and not have a Garrett Morris cameo.
So he made the final cut. Greg Turkington makes the final cut. The lotto ticket salesman, not so essential to the thing. Although, and I've heard a lot of people say, there's like a character thing. You're just not sure why this character is Ant-Man and all that stuff, and that there probably should have been some sort of like lottery scene to kind of really help flesh out like the who is this guy and that. But look, that's you're the director. I'm not. I was just.
These are the tough decisions that have to be made in the cutting room. I mean, you know, you've heard the term cutting room floor.
I have.
You were right there. I mean, you were right there at ground zero on the cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a special situation to be in. Not many people have the honor, I think, of being right there.
Well, it'll be exciting. This is what's going to be exciting when Ant-Man 2 happens, and then it'll be like, wait, who's the only person who played two different characters in both Ant-Man movies?
And then exactly.
That'll be me, because I'll be in a thing. I'll be like, look out, Ant-Man! Right?
So wait, who's the guy who yells, look out, Ant-Man?
Me!
Okay,
but I want to be in the scene that every superhero franchise has to have, where the citizens rise up to like show that they've got Ant-Man's back.
Sure.
And then like the villain is like smashing stuff up, and there's like, hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man.
Superman 2 scene. It's the Superman 2 scene.
Hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man. And then I get like obliterated by like someone with like laser eyes or something.
You could be on, you know, you could be on roller skates. Maybe there's a lot of wind happening. You'd be on roller skates.
Oh, yeah.
I could
blow them backwards.
Like, you're in a phone booth. You're making a really important call.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a huge, you know, wind. I don't know. We'd have to figure that out in the script. Maybe you could blow the phone booth over, but you're so intent on making that call, you stay on the phone even though the whole booth, you know, blows around. You know, I don't know. Maybe you've got a toupee on. Blows the toupee off. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities.
There is a lot of possibilities. Now, Peyton Reed, you're on vacation. I don't want to take much more of your time here.
If vacation is changing baby diapers, yes, I'm on vacation.
Congratulations. Seriously, look, you know I'm lucky enough to call you friend. Nobody is more excited for you than the way this has all gone for you, because the movie truly is great and it stays fun. Though, you know what's funny is the movie's funny the whole time while it's exciting and stuff. It's a good time. I was so happy that you kept the spirit of the movie from beginning to end, and it's weirdly funny the whole way, and it's also in its own way the trippiest Marvel movie.
I like hearing that. No, I think, Tom, you were absolutely one of the first people I called when I got this job and when I was going to do Ant-Man, because you and I have talked about Marvel characters for absolutely as long as I've known you. That's been one of the go-tos that we've always had is Marvel.
Yeah. It might be the only thing we have in common.
Wait a second, what?
No, but... Seriously, I'm super proud of you, and I'm so happy the movie came out the way it did. You did a great job, and everybody loves it, and they should.
Well,
they're right to love it.
Listen, Ant-Man is still in theaters, I have to say, you know, whether you're a fan of 3D or not, you know, I'm not someone who's always loved 3D. The 3D on this movie is amazing. If you get a chance to see it in 3D, it's really awesome.
Okay. I'm going to see it in 3D.
I just like my movie.
I'm going to see it in 3D. Now, just one thing. Is this the, not that I'm, this is the one with the Minions in it?
Nope. That's Minions. That's a
oh, wait. You didn't do that one? Oh, I thought you did that movie.
No, that's an animated movie. I did not.
Which one did
I
you do?
I animation. Ant-Man, the one that you've referenced several times on.
Oh, I walked out of that one. I thought this was me. I thought you did Minions.
Nope. I directed Ant-Man. And what prompted you to walk out of the theater?
My phone was ringing. No, I loved it. And I'm going to say this. If anybody wants to see a tour de force from Peyton Reed, you check out On Cinema, the Oscar special, and you'll get it's a tour de force watching you and Tim Heidecker and Greg Turkington.
That was fun to do. I did their On Cinema Oscar special this year, and Tim had a little bit of a meltdown.
Yeah.
He had basically a 2.5-hour meltdown.
It was
painful to watch.
Yes. What does 2000? What's next for a Peyton Reed?
Well, listen. Let's see what happens. I mean, if we're fortunate enough to do a sequel to Ant-Man, I would be way into doing it. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of other things in development. One, a big science fiction thing, which I will certainly talk to you about at a future date. But who knows? I'm not sure. We'll see.
All right. Well, just remember this. Hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man.
Can you try one more time, but with a southern dialect? Just give me a southern accent.
Hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man.
Hey, it's weird. That voice that you just did reminds me, when Paul Rudd was on your show a few weeks back, you guys did a sort of dueling imitation of Peyton Reed thing.
Sure,
and that voice that you just did sounded remarkably like the voice that you did as me.
Yeah, that was you.
Hey.
That was me.
Hey, it's Peyton Reed. Action! Cue the ants!
Uh-huh.
And okay. Ants-skin.
Ant-skin? I said ant-skin instead of action?
Yes, because it's Ant-Man.
Uh-huh.
Look.
That's a really good imitation. I like that.
Ant-skin!
Well, look, I'm going to let you go. Go back. Enjoy your vacation. You earned it, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
buddy. See you later.
Okay, bye. Is that Peyton Reed? See? You don't know who's going to call the best show. See that, Mike? I did a thing for it. I didn't tell anybody. I did a scene. I didn't make the cut. Almost made the cut. Weird life Tom's got, huh? Weird life Tom's got. You turn around one day, Tom's in a Derek Jeter commercial, right? You ever see that, Mike? Weird. Made more money off that Derek Jeter thing, and I didn't make much at all, but I got paid more than I've ever been paid for every minute of the best show I've ever done combined. Four, and tip the cap. Okay. Reset, tip the cap. And reset, tip the cap. Okay, that's a wrap on that shot. But that sometimes life don't give you what you want where you're supposed to get it. Not what you can do about that, man. Look, is this show unpopular? Yeah, it is. It's wildly unpopular. Would I have been better off with the best show having been like one of these other things I hear, these other shows with a hook? Yeah, I would have been better off. This show ain't got no hook, man. No hook. Right? Except for it's the best thing you ever heard. It's the only hook we got. The only hook we got. The other things, man... These other I poke around. I hear these things. They're all cleaning up. One's cleaning up next. I heard this one thing. It was called Gilligan Island Guys, where it's these two dudes watching every episode of Gilligan's Island, and they review every episode of Gilligan's Island, one of the biggest podcasts going. And one of the fellas has seen all the episodes. The other one's never seen them, and he watches them fresh. Got that. Got my bro, Chris Hardwick, who I'm cool with. Told you I met him at the Ant-Man. I went to the Ant-Man premiere. Yeah, that's right. Nathan Thomas on Twitter. Chris Gethard cut from Iron Man 2. Tom Sharpland cut from Ant-Man. Cutting room floor. Good company there on the cutting room floor. Good company. Maybe I should just change what the show is. Maybe it's, look, it's 3 hours long. People can't get a handle on it. Yeah, so I ran, just finished the thought through. I ran to Chris Hardwick at the premiere of Ant-Man. Had a nice talk with him. He's a nice guy. Nice guy. I'll still tease him here. He's still the king. He's in the castle looking down at, people like me. It's like Mad Max. It's like he's the guy with the tubes hooked to his face and thing, and I'm just one of these mutants painted white begging for water to get poured down. That's where he's at. That's where I'm at. He's got everything. I've got nothing. So you throw a rock at the king every once in a while. He can take it. Right, Mike? Yeah, Mike gets it. Look at Mike right now. Mike actually is like this. He's got this second. He's like the Liscasance. He was like, and Mike, don't take this the wrong way. Nobody was a bigger punchline than AP Mike. Yeah, don't take that the wrong way. But this guy goes, he puts a song together. He records a song that's great. He writes a children's story, gets Charlie Morgan to do the audio book for it. He's really coming into his own. It's truly, and I'm serious. People say to me, "Yeah, Mike's really good at this stuff." And I'm like, "I know. Keep going. Are you going to keep going with it? Good. I think it's great." It's inspirational. Mike's finding his footing on this new ventures here. But yeah, man, I tell you, the show ain't got no hook. No hook. Gilligan's Island guys, maybe that's what I should have been doing. Those guys cleaning up. Those guys that are buying mansions now. They review an episode of Gilligan's Island and then they can't even spend the money fast enough. This show, I'm donating blood before every episode. then they're like, "Hey, you want the orange juice?" I'm like, "Well, can I get a lid on that? I'll bring it back to the studio. Me and Mike and Dudio and Pat are gonna split the orange juice four ways. we're splitting a Dixie cup full of orange juice that they give at the blood bank." Yeah. What if I did a Sanford and Son? I review every episode of Sanford and Son. What if that's just what the best show becomes? What do you think about that? Right? The best show. The place where Sanford and Son episodes are reviewed. What if it's that? No, we review Sanford and Son episodes. Maybe that's what the Sanford. What if it's Sanford and Son? No, his son. He only had one son. It's Mumford and Sons, and Sanford and Son. Can you imagine being in that band with that guy the day he tells you, "Yeah, I figured out we're going to change the name of the band." "Oh, what? What are we going to change it to, Marcus? Because his name is Marcus Mumford." "Yeah, I decided the name of the band is going to be Mumford and Sons." "Well, you know, I'm 3 years older than you." says the bass player.
Yep, well, now you're one of the sons.
Oh, boy. Imagine that day. Day you got the toot on that dude, man.
And those guys, they had their cornpone style of rock music. They have that song.
I will wait for you.
Is that them?
I will wait for you.
And then they're just like, yeah, we want to make rock music. So then they changed their sound, and then they just sounded like a completely normal rock group. What a weird turn of events that was. When suddenly they were on SNL playing, and it just sounded like a rock band. Mumford and Sons, Sanford and Son. What if I call the podcast, what do you think about this, Mike? Sanford and Song. And every week I record a song, like a Sanford and Son song, based on the plot of the episode I just watched, and I sing it to the theme of Sanford and Son. Right? Be like, they found some money stuck inside a suitcase and they thought it was funny. And then Grady fell asleep. Then the cop came around for the cash. And then a mobster came 'cause it was his suitcase. Held them all at gunpoint. Fred didn't want to give the money up. Lamont told him, Pop, give him the cash. Then Fred finally gave him the cash. Yeah, maybe that's what I should do. Maybe the best show. We're not going to call it the best show anymore. It's now called Sanford and Song. From now on. Oh, that's right. Jesse from Vegas just reminded me that Gary Shandling wrote for Sanford and Son. That scab. He was a scab. He crossed the Comedy Store. The Comedy Store. Is it the Comedy Store? Yeah. He crossed the picket line when they were on strike. It's a rat. Rat. Shandling's a rat. The rat list. Who's on the rat list for the best show? Right? I'm done with the hate pit. Let's just do the rat list. Isn't that a good way to put it, Mike? The rat list. Gary Shandling, rat list. Chuck Woolery, rat list. Rat list. From now on, rat list. No more hate pit. It's called the rat list. We list the rats. No more hate pit. Hate pit's closed for good. We just filled it up with dirt. The rat list lives. Sanford and Song. Get ready. One thing I wanted to tell you about, my friends. Speaking of the best show, you know that we have great advertisers that do advertise on the show and support the show and keep the show free for you. And one of the reasons why advertisers love the best show with Tom Sharpling, a.k.a. Sanford and Song, is that they know we have amazing fans. That's the one thing I don't doubt for a second, is that the people who listen to the show are great. And I truly do appreciate all the support that we get. And right now there's a survey up that I would really appreciate it if you guys would take so that we can learn more about the audience over at podsurvey.com/Tom. Podsurvey.com/Tom. The survey only takes 5 minutes. And you will get some questions about yourself and what you like to buy. It's completely anonymous.
Your answers help find advertisers that are well-matched to you, your interest, and the show. And we need advertisers. When you're finished, you can enter a monthly drawing to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You can enter that, but just take the survey. That's the important thing, because we really need advertisers to know what the deal is with the best show and that the people who listen are the kind of people who will respond to advertising. So go to podsurvey.com/Tom. Thank you for helping us find the best advertisers so that we keep the show free. That's the important thing. Again, survey takes less than 5 minutes, completely anonymous. When you're finished, you can enter your email for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. And it's a new survey, updated. Please take it. Help us out. Podsurvey.com/Tom. And let's go back to the phones. Phones are hot tonight. We're going back to the phones. Best Show, you're on the air.
They did open with Stairway to the Stars.
What's that?
Blue Oyster Cult. That night at the Capitol Theater in Passaic.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Sounds like someone's been hitting the bong a little too hard this summer. First thing that goes, your short-term memory.
Now I know who this is. This is Philly Boy Roy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about Blue Oyster Cult?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing I think of you and Blue Oyster Cult is like a month or so ago when Paul Rudd, the movie star, was in here, and you called in. We had, the phones were on fire that night, and I only took a few calls, and you were one of the people to get through.
Yeah.
And you wasted his time asking him about a Blue Oyster Cult set list from a show in, what was it, 1975?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You think I wasted his time? He seemed into me.
Well, it was an odd question.
I don't think it was odd at all. I think it was a perfectly logical thing to ask.
The logical thing for you to ask is because you found out he was from New Jersey when he was a kid.
Yeah.
That you should ask him about a Blue Oyster Cult show that you remembered from 75 at the Capitol Theater in Passaic.
Yeah, I think it might be the most logical assumption I ever made.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Maybe you're the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Well, that actually was a perfect retort. I'll give it to you there. It bounced right back at me.
Thank you.
What can I do for you, Roy?
What can I do for you? What are you, a sales rep for Elger Toilets? yes, hello. What's that, sir? You're having trouble with the flush mechanism on the B365? Oh, hold please, sir, while I connect you with our tech department. That's what you sound like.
That's strangely specific, what you just said.
Oh, I know all about Elger Toilets. I broke a lot of them in my day. What?
I neither here nor there. I don't want to know.
Wait, what'd you say?
I said it's neither here nor there that you
broke. That ain't how you say it.
How do you say it?
That's neither here, comma, Nora, comma, there.
Uh-huh. Again, I've never heard that. That must be a Philly thing.
Oh, everything's Philly nowadays.
I didn't know that. That's.
I want that on my... I know every time I talk to you, I say I want something different on my tombstone.
Yeah.
But I want that one on my tombstone.
Well, what if you got it on your tombstone and you had it so that it was like a musical tombstone, like the Buzzcocks song, Everyone's Happy Nowadays, but it says Everything's Philly Nowadays.
I ain't having nothing to do with nothing Steve Diggle's involved in.
I didn't realize there was some bad blood between you and Steve Diggle from the
Buzz. Yeah, we hate each other. You didn't know that?
No, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
You've got these weird rivalries between, you had Robert Fripp, who you were fighting with.
Hate?
Yeah. And Steve Diggle from the Buzzcocks.
Oh, don't like him at all.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I was all PO'd when he put that flag of convenience Buzzcocks thing out. Remember that? He was trading on the old band's name.
It really rubbed you the wrong way, huh?
Didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Integrity is the first thing you think of when you think of Philly Boy Roy.
Now I want that on my tombstone.
What? Integrity is the first thing you think of when you think of Philly Boy Roy?
Yeah, it didn't pop the second time you said it.
Yeah. All right, Roy, what have you been doing this summer?
Oh, my God. Well, it's been one for the record books, Tom.
Uh-huh.
I'm having the kind of summer you hear about in a Bryan Adams song.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, you know, living, loving, fun in the sun on the beach, DJing, operating a portable Dunkin' booth, curating playlists, stumping for Trump, making an album in a statue, maybe having open heart surgery.
Wow, that is a long, crazy list you just rolled out there.
Ain't it?
Yeah.
And it's only July.
Yeah. Let's say I want to take those one at a time. You said,
okay.
You said something about fun on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
You've been going to the beach with the rest of your family?
Oh, yeah. I'm hitting all the good ones, too. And granted, they're in Jersey. Let's face it. Jersey got the best beaches, right? You know, I'm hitting Barnegat, Brigantine, Ocean City, Seabright, Seaside Hoyts. I got the whole Ziegler clan here. Mm-hmm. Rhoda, Roy Jr., Rhoda Jr., Little Rhoda, Cousin Ollie.
Wait, who's that last one?
Cousin Ollie.
Cousin Ollie? Who is Cousin Ollie?
What?
I've never heard you mention Cousin Ollie before.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the producer said we need to spice things up this time.
What producer said you have to spice things up?
The producer of my reality show.
Hey, hold on. You have what reality show?
The one I've been starring in for the last 7 years.
No, this is news to me. You've had a reality show for 7 years?
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
I've never heard mention of that ever.
I never mentioned Ziegler House Rules.
No.
It's on Shout Real.
I've never heard one word about this, Roy.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. What did you say was Ziegler House Rules?
Yeah. What are you doing?
I want to check this out here.
Oh, you're going to love it. Check it out.
Okay. Yeah, here you guys all are.
Right?
Uh-huh. Wait, there's my name. And there's like a, oh, what? Hold on.
What's wrong, Tom? Now,
there's like a, this is what it says. And what would an episode of the show be without Roy's number one rival, DJ Tom Sharpling? He's ugly as sin, and it's amazing the headphones can even stay on his head with him always picking his fur for nits. And then there's like a picture, it looks like an ape with DJ headphones on. Oh, I could sue you for this.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, you need to be thanking me. You should see the graphic they wanted to use.
Uh-huh.
It was just a wet, cream-colored blob with stink lines coming off it.
Okay, no, I'm not happy about this. This is...
You're getting press!
I'm getting press.
People are finding out about you.
I'm going to take care of this in my own due time. This is very upsetting.
Oh, don't be upset. I think you're going to get a lot of Facebook hits.
Mm-hmm.
Likes.
Yeah, wow, a lot of likes. A
lot of likes.
Yeah, that'll really put food on the table, huh?
Oh.
Those Facebook likes. Look, let's move on. You said something about you made an album?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. And I'll tell you what, man, I had 150 songs written going into this.
150 songs? Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Right?
What kind of music is your album?
Well, I recorded the entire thing in the Rocky statue in front of the art museum.
Wait, how?
Oh, you can get in it.
In what?
In the statue.
In the statue?
Yeah, almost no one knows about it.
Not see, on the statue.
No, in it.
How do you get in? Okay.
Well, here's what you do. You can access the inside of the statue from the fountain across from it. You know, the big fountain?
Yeah.
There's this labyrinthian tunnel that you take to get into the statue. It goes underneath everything, and it leads up into the statue. And I'll tell you something secret.
Yeah, what's that?
Only myself, Mayor Rizzo, Todd Rundgren, Julius Erving, and Donna Pascal ever been in it.
In the Rocky statue.
Yeah, they won't even let Hall nor Oates in it. I don't know why.
But what I can't understand is how you said you made a record inside of it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be insanely cramped in there, right?
Well, of course it is. That's what's so amazing about Statue of No Limitations, the album I made inside it.
Uh-huh.
I actually got in there and made an album, Tom.
Uh-huh. So you made an album in the... What is the music like?
Oh, that's besides the point, you dip-munched doodle. It was recorded inside a statue!
No, you've said that already multiple times, that it was recorded in a statue. But, I mean, you made an album. I mean, is the album any good?
What does that matter? It was recorded in a statue!
Oh, Roy, I gotta say, I'm not happy with you this time. Apparently, I've been a part of some reality show that I haven't known about. I'll sort that out later. And now you're telling me that you did some album in a statue, and that seems to be the... All that matters is that you seem, as far as you're concerned, is that you did it in a statue. If, look, just level with me. If you were reviewing this record, honestly.
Right.
And giving it, letter grades.
Okay.
How would you rate the record, in terms of, what letter grade would you give the songwriting?
D-. Yeah.
Okay, what about, the musicianship?
D+.
How about, the sound quality?
D. Oh, no. F. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It sounds worse than the Dirty Rotten EP. You can barely tell that I'm wailing on a melodica halfway through it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you said you gave it a D. What was the songwriting grade? A D-?
Yeah.
But you mentioned you had 150 songs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was in the midst of a real creative streak. The song ideas was just flowing out of me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this sounds like you're being a little generous when you say you had 150 songs, which
no,
is the thing I've heard. You hear a lot of bands talk about how they're in the studio. Yeah, we have 80 songs, and I mean, then you hear the album, and there's not even, the songs aren't very good, and what happened to the other 70? Like, why'd you pick those 10 of the 80? And, are these songs on this thing, are they actually, you actually have 150 songs, or is it, just bits and pieces?
Well, I'll be honest. Only 3 of the songs on the album, they're passable at best. The rest are filler. And, truthfully, on 4 of the songs, I'm actually yelling the word filler over and over again because I couldn't think of nothing else to say.
So you're literally yelling the word filler.
Filler! In various forms. Filler!
Uh-huh.
Filler! Filler! Day or night. That's like the Michael Jackson song.
Yeah, filler.
Because I'm the Thriller, day or night. Remember that other song where he goes, keep up to the post office. Don't stop till you get enough.
Those aren't the words.
That's on a comp called Songs About Mail.
Songs About Mail. Because, yeah, Michael Jackson was so comped up around that time. That was just his big thing was how many comps can I get my song
on. He was always getting on those Ronco albums.
He was just like, maybe I can just land some songs on some comps. Like those albums, like he
it
wasn't.
Was him, Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds.
Just
the union.
Just putting things on comps.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Like did he have things on like cassette comps and things like that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Power of the 80s.
Yeah. He would just send in a song.
Yeah, disco power.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Roy, I gotta say, it sounds like. You
think I made a bad record.
Yeah, it sounds like you wanted to just be able to say that you made a record inside a statue.
And what is wrong with that? Tom, I'm going to take you to school, okay?
Uh-huh.
We're in the how age now. It's not what you did, it's how you did it and where you did it.
What's that mean?
What do you mean?
It's not what you did, so it doesn't matter that if you made a good or bad album, doesn't matter. It's that you were the first to make an album inside the Rocky statue is what matters.
I think so. Uh-huh. My next record I'm going to make in a big shoe.
Ugh, okay. Look, you said something about a dunking booth?
Oh, I sure did.
What's going on with this dunking booth?
Well, unfortunately, it isn't the moneymaker I hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm. Where do you set this, dunking booth up?
Oh, you know, the usual places, courthouses, IRS offices, funeral homes, anywhere people need to have their spirits raised, you know? And what's more fun in the summer than sitting on a plank and getting dropped in hot, semi-clean water?
So, I'm a little confused here. Who's sitting on the plank?
The people that pay to do it, the people that need their spirits raised.
Well, that's not how the dunking booth things work. It's the
whole.
How
do you think it should work?
That the person who needs the cheering is the one throwing the balls and trying to knock some buffoon like you into the water.
No, I throw the balls.
That's the opposite of how it works.
Oh, maybe that's why ain't no one doing it.
Yeah, yeah, that might be why, because that's the opposite of fun. The whole point is to throw the balls and knock some loudmouth into the water.
Oh, okay. Well, it seemed like a great idea when Roy Jr. pitched it to me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're going to go back to the drawing room on that one.
Yeah, because I can't picture somebody coming out of a funeral, then stepping into a dunking booth, and then having you throw the balls at the target so that they can get soaking wet in their suit.
Well, okay. You make it sound like a dumb idea now. I'll
okay.
give you that much.
Yeah. What did you say? You said something about Trump? About Donald Trump?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, stumping for him.
You're stumping for him.
I sure am.
You're campaigning for Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be our best president since General Patton.
Well, Patton was not a president.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he should have been. Look, I had a very productive meeting the other day with Doug Trump, so you better shut up.
Who is Doug Trump?
Donald's son, you Trump-a-doodle dummy. Wait on. Let me play that one over again. Ask me again who Doug Trump is.
Oh, who is Doug Trump?
Donald's son, you Trump munch.
Okay, you feel
I
better?
I got you so
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, you feel better now?
I do. Thank you.
Ugh. So where did you meet Doug Trump, his son?
Oh, inside a Trump fundraiser on the main line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where all the rich people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was scoping out the place to see if I could get in and get some free drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear this voice ask if I got any weed.
Okay.
And I turn around.
Yeah.
And there's this man dressed in a nice suit and he's got a nice cap on his head. And I go, who wants to know? And he goes, Doug Trump does. I was like, okay. So he invites me to come smoke out in the back of Trump's limo.
Okay.
Yeah, and we start chatting about all kinds of stuff as we get baked.
Yeah.
And then Doug gets a call on his cell phone, and then he goes, Roy, you got to leave right now. I go, okay. And then I get out, and he starts spraying all this Lysol in the limo.
Uh-huh.
And then his dad comes out with a whole bunch of security goons, and they all get in the limo, and they take off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if that... I'm not sure if Doug Trump was Trump's son, actually, Roy. It sounds like that was, Trump's limo driver.
Why do you always gotta spoil my good time?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to spoil your good time. I'm just trying to hold you to some basic tenets of reality here.
Maybe I want to hold you to basic tennis.
Okay. Well, what did Doug Trump look like?
Latino, mid-70s.
Yeah, that's not Donald Trump's son. Mid-70s.
Well, we'll beg to differ on this.
Yeah, mid-70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Roy. What else were you talking about when you... Did you say something about surgery?
Yeah, open heart surgery.
Open heart surgery?
Yeah.
You have to get open heart surgery?
Yeah. I got some really bad clogs going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the doctor said I got a real bad case of Philly heart.
Philly heart. What is Philly heart?
Well, you know, it comes from decades of nothing but hoagies. Cheese steaks, tasty cakes, fries, Frank sodas, nachos, peanut chews.
Well, look, I'm sorry. Open heart surgery is a pretty big deal.
Well, yeah, it is. But like I said, I may be having it, but I might not have it.
Wait, you need it, but
yeah.
You might not have it. Well, if you need it, you have to have it.
Look. First of all, Roy don't gotta do nothing, okay? And B, I lost my faith in my surgeon.
Why did you lose faith in your surgeon?
Well, the other day I was at Wawa, you know, picking up some Eneman's black and white sheet cakes for dinner.
Uh-huh.
And I look over, and who's at the electronic hoagie ordering station but my surgeon?
Your surgeon?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to break the patient-doctor oath, so I don't say nothing to him.
Uh-huh.
And so I just observe, just observing him, you know, from back behind the Pringles rack.
Okay.
Tom, did you know they got a whole line of cayenne-infused chips now?
A line of what chips?
Cayenne pepper.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like Kiss is playing in your mouth, but they're only doing Hotter Than Hell, Burn Bitch Burn, and Firehouse.
Wow, those are some fiery chips.
Hot chips.
Yeah.
Hot songs, hot chips.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm standing there behind the Pringles, and I'm studying my surgeon as he's ordering his hoagie.
Yeah.
You're never going to believe what he did.
What?
He ordered extra banana peppers.
So?
So? What kind of psycho's path does that?
Well, a lot of people like banana peppers.
Well, yeah, and to a man, they're all serial killers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Ted Bundy?
Yeah.
Flagrant banana pepper head.
Uh-huh.
But you'll never believe what I saw my surgeon do next.
What? You're crying.
I am. He ordered his roll toasted.
Okay. I don't look. Sometimes I like to get my hoagie roll toasted.
What? Get behind me, demon of Hades!
What is going on? What is that?
What was what I just said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's from the Vatican's Handbook on Exercising Sandwiches. Why?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Maybe you're the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Okay, well, maybe I'm not, and maybe you're still the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Wait, slow down.
No, I'm not going to slow. You can hang with that.
No, it was tough.
Yeah, well.
I was doing whippets.
Okay. Well,
about a minute ago.
Yeah, well, it's not like you need open heart surgery or anything, so you're doing whippets. That's a. Oh. Yeah, this is as stupid as anything I've ever heard, Roy.
No, it ain't. But you know, I'll tell you, it reminds me of that episode of What's Happening when Raj sees his therapist in a thong and he don't want to go back to him no more.
I don't think that was an episode of What's Happening. I think that was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
What's that?
It's a TV show. You're acting so shocked at it. So. Look.
I thought it was a book or something.
No, look.
And you know about my relationship with books.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody listening can figure out your relationship with books.
I don't like to hold them.
Uh-huh. So, Roy, you're saying that you are not going to have open-heart surgery that you need because you saw your surgeon ordering his hoagie with banana peppers and he wanted the roll toasted.
Yeah. What kind of monster did I raise?
What? What kind of monster? What do you mean, what kind of monster did I raise?
Did I stutter? Do you want me to turn it up? You know what that's from, don't you?
No, I don't.
Crack a John Hughes movie featuring the greatest wrestling uniform joke of all time much? It don't sound like you do.
What movie was that?
Oh, come on, The Breakfast Club!
Okay, The Breakfast Club. I'm sorry I'm not as up on every line from The Breakfast Club.
Do you wear tights? No, I wear the required uniform.
These are quotes from Breakfast Club?
Yeah!
Uh-huh.
Richard, Dick, will milk be made available for us?
Okay.
Those are great lines.
Look, I'm glad you're such a huge Breakfast Club fan. But, I'm much more concerned. It feels like you're like avoiding discussing the important matter at hand.
No, man, no, I ain't.
Yeah. Let's talk more about this surgery. Who is this surgeon of yours?
Royden Ziegler.
Wait, what did you just say?
Royden H. Ziegler.
Roy Jr.
Yeah.
Roy Jr. is your surgeon.
Yeah, why?
Uh-huh. Well, why? Why is... He's not a surgeon, for starters.
No, but he's getting real good at it.
At surgery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He practices on an old blocking dummy we stole from the Temple football team.
I want nothing to do with this. The idea that you're going to let your son practice open heart surgery on you because you've seen him get good at practicing surgery on a blocking dummy you stole from a football field.
Yeah, he gets most of the stuffing back in.
Oh, Roy.
I don't like how you're talking to me. You're being a real munch butt.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry,
I lashed out at you.
Okay.
I got a lot of stuff going on. I'll tell you what, there's something I didn't want to bring up, but I'll bring it up, okay?
What's that?
This Ashley Madison hack has got me really on pens and needles right now.
Oh, Roy, don't tell me you have an Ashley Madison account.
Don't you?
Don't I? No, I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
You seem like you'd get really wild.
Ugh.
No?
No.
Well, look, I'm just following the law of the Philly jungle, which is, of course, when the wife's at work, I get to be a jerk.
That's... that old standby, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Once you get that put on your tombstone.
Oh no, are you kidding me? I need my reputation to be sparkling when I pass on, if I pass on.
If.
Yeah, I'm thinking about not dying.
Oh, you're giving that some thought?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically. So. So you're. I've never heard you make that sound before, and I hope to never hear you make it again.
Okay. Fair enough.
So you're worried that Rhoda is going to find out you've been kind of running around behind her back.
Oh, no. She knows all about that. I'm scared she's going to yell at me for using her debit card.
For the Ashley Madison account?
Yeah.
You're worried that's how she's going to get in. Well, you just did it again. You did it
again. I just saw a mouse run by, and it had a little Flyers jersey on.
Oh, that's actually cute.
Right?
That's what happens down there in Philly.
Yeah. I saw it again. Oh.
I mean, I'm not sure why when you see the mouse you have to say yeah like that.
I don't
that.
Know. It's a Pavlovian response, I guess, right?
Like you're keeping the mouse at bay by
exactly,
doing that?
Exactly, yeah. I'm keeping it in a bay.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Hang on, Joaquin. Hey, I don't mind you cranking tunes, but have some respect for me, Familia, okay?
Oh. What? I don't know what that just was. What, do you have a house guest?
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing. He's getting more than a little on my nerves, to be honest, right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, you know, a bro, he's a bro in need, so I got to honor the code, right?
Uh-huh. Sure.
I mean, El Chapo's cool, but he just needs to respect the house rules a little better. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, have you seen this new show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll? I'll tell you, man, Hollywood finally gets it right when it comes to an accurate portrayal of what it's like to be in a rock band. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I thought the show was pretty stupid. I mean, it was, just the idea that this band is supposed to be, like, doing Boston rock and... Wait, did you say something about El Chapo second ago?
Yeah.
And he's your... Wait, you don't mean El Chapo, the head of the, how do you say it, like Sinaloa?
Si, por qué?
Cartel?
Si.
Mm-hmm. He's the guy who escaped from a Mexican prison like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And can I just ask you a question, Roy?
Sure.
How do you know El Chapo, I guess is part one of the question, and then the second part is going to be... Why is he staying with you in Philadelphia?
Oh, well, for starters, we're tight bros from way back when.
Uh-huh.
What?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make a joke about, you know, how your favorite guitarists are, like, Gilly, David Gilmore, Richie Blackmore... was it like Robin Trower at the Troubadour, I think, and then Jimmy Page?
What? Why would I do that?
You know, tight bros from way back.
Yeah, I said we were.
Yeah.
you know, Tom, sometimes I think it's you, not me, who's the mentally disturbed part of this friendship.
Just answer the question.
Okay, I'll nutshell it for you, okay?
Uh-huh, okay.
Okay, well, look, maybe I'm talking out of school here, but back in the early to mid-80s, it's no secret that the Philly rock scene was fueled by Mexican funnel cake sugar.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Tom, that's slang for rails.
Yeah, okay, I kind of figured that out.
Okay, well, anywho, it also ain't no secret that 90% of the aforementioned sugar...
Mm-hmm.
Was coming from the Sinaloa cartel.
Okay.
The other 10% was, of course, coming from the Phillies baseball team, as a previous caller explained in vivid, humorous detail a few weeks ago.
Yeah, a guy called up and talked about, a baseball player talked about how baseball exists to sell drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Anywho, El Chapo was just a foot soldier back then.
Okay.
And his beat was Philly.
Okay.
He was supplying Krell to everyone back then. You know, the A's, Robert Hazard, Ken Queter, Dick Tracy, McRad, Why Die, The Impossible Years, Sadistic Exploits, Bunny Drums, Executive Slacks, Bricklin, Cinderella, who else? Five Story Fall, No Milk, Flag of Democracy, Narthex, Ruin, Psychotic Norman, Brittany Fox, Hair Club for Men, The Automatics, Electric Love Muffin, to name just a couple.
Wow, a lot of good bands in there.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. I'll tell you one other thing.
Yeah?
He was super tight with the Hooters.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He bankrolled their Amore EP.
El Chapo.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy. I never
oh,
heard
yeah.
that.
Yeah. He advised them to start wearing those multicolored jumpsuits.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, said it made him look more fun.
That made him look more fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's also him singing backups on Punk Rock Girl.
The Dead Milkmen.
Yeah.
Song.
Oh, yeah. He was their first tour manager until Dan Mapp got on board.
Oh, I know who Dan is.
Oh, yeah. It's a party.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, I met El Chapo at one of those all-night hardcore shows at Love Hall back in 83.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, what a bill. Minutemen, Husker Du, White Cross from Virginia, Circle of S Hit, and some others I don't remember because I was doing mucho rails.
Uh-huh.
And at one point during Everything Falls Apart,
yeah.
Chapo and me, we jumped off the balcony holding hands.
Okay.
It was awesome. But we also took out Greg Norton's bass rig in the process.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad. But ultimately, it was no biggie, though, because Chapo just peeled off a wad of bills and he handed it to Greg and he gave him an extra $20 for mustache wax.
Roy, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
And you've told me a lot of different things, and I have to say that story you just told me might very well be the weirdest thing you've ever said.
Well, that means a lot to me. Thank you, Frank.
Uh-huh. Tom.
Oh, Tom, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anywho,
yeah.
Me and Chop have been buds ever since, and I've been sending him Philly care packages with tasty cakes and peanut chews ever since then, and he sends me packages with, well, you know.
Ugh. Yeah, I can guess what the packages are.
Yeah. So anyway, when he busted out of L7,
uh-huh.
He made his way to Roxborough. And he's been hanging out here the whole time, and he blends in real good. Because don't nobody give a rip here.
In Philly.
Yeah.
People just don't care past
no,
a certain
no.
point. Uh-huh.
No.
Well, I mean, I guess that's...
Oh, no.
Wait, what's going on, Roy?
Oh, hang on.
What?
Oh, no.
What?
Old Doug must have told Donald Trump that El Chapo's here. Because the Donald just pulled up in a double-stretch limo.
Wait, you told him... Doug Trump, that El Chapo's staying with you?
Look, when I vape, I get loose lips and I brag about stuff. Just like that poster from World War II. Don't vape and talk, or it's the plank he's going to walk. Remember that poster?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember any motivational, inspirational World War II posters that mentioned vaping.
Look, for micromanaging my use and or misuse of the English language, okay?
Okay, well, you're the one who brought it up and asked me if I knew it, so I'm just answering your question.
Well, don't yell.
I'm not yelling. I'm just
trying
to...
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
What's going on
El
now?
El Chapo's muy angry. He's getting in my dune buggy.
What? He's getting in your dune buggy.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, no, he's out in the middle of the street.
In your dune buggy.
Yeah.
Which I did not think was working, but I'm glad. I guess good news is it's back on the road again.
He's a great mechanic. He should do work on your car sometime.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he's facing Trump's limo.
Okay.
Oh, no, he's revving it up.
The buggy?
Oh, no, he's revving the buggy up.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, he stopped.
Oh, that's a relief. Wait, what is that?
Oh, yeah, he put a Mexican horn on my dune buggy.
A Mexican horn.
Yeah.
Okay, that's troubling. But
I know.
Yeah.
What no.
Yeah.
Now Trump's revving his limo. Oh, no! It's got like a 14-cylinder in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he cut it off.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so it's all. What's that? What is that? Is that the? Who just honked?
That was Trump.
That was Trump?
Yeah, his limo's got two horns.
Yeah, well, I would figure his limo would have two horns because he's
right, wouldn't you? Like he can afford it.
Sure, and he would tell everybody that he can afford it too.
Exactly.
He's a braggart. What was that?
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
The dune buggy's got two Mexican horns.
That was a horn?
Yeah, well, you know, it's not like a traditional horn. They do things a bit differently down there.
Yeah, okay. Well, it sounds like you've got a real... God help me for saying this. It's like a Mexican standoff, like in a movie.
I don't know if you heard that, but I dropped my phone.
Yeah, I did. I did hear that.
Well, it's all one big joke to you, isn't it, Tom?
Uh-huh. Well, no, I was trying to make a reference that would keep it in check with... Why? What?
It's just bad, and I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah?
This is why you never get asked to go on Bob's Burgers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bob's Burgers. Yeah, I haven't been asked to be on Bob's. That's right.
Oh, and you know what? I'm paging through TV Guide right now.
Yeah?
Looks like Mike's going to be on this week.
On Bob's Burgers. Mike is on Bob's Burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Says here he's playing a character, Tim the Wiener Man.
Tim the Wiener Man.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I don't know either. I didn't know Mike was,
Things are taking off for him, I tell you.
Mike is doing pretty good lately. I got to say, he had that song. I don't know if you heard it.
I was the first person to buy it.
You were the okay. And then he had the children's audio book he wrote.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty
impressive. I think it would have been ruined if you narrated it.
Uh-huh. Well, I didn't. So that's I was not asked, so it's a moot point.
Out there, Tom. Oh, what's going on? I don't like it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's all going down. Oh. Everyone's revving.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Chapo's barreling towards Trump.
Oh, my God. Is that an explosion? It was worse. What is that? Hello?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, no.
What?
There's just a big cloud of smoke.
Uh-huh.
I don't like the looks of this at all.
Yeah?
Nothing's happening out there, Tom.
Well, it's quiet now.
Ah! El Chapo is alive! Viva El Chapo!
What?
How exciting is this, Tom?
Yeah, El Chapo is alive.
He's alive!
Yeah, yeah. So that's El Chapo's music playing in the background?
That's his I'm Alive music.
Yeah, it's pretty on the nose. But thank God he's alive.
He's a hero.
Yeah, what about Trump?
Oh, I think he bought it.
He bought it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what, Tom.
What's that?
The best news of all?
Yeah.
El Chapo is en route to New Jersey right now.
Oh, how is that the best news?
Well, I gave him your address.
Oh, thank you for that, Roy.
Oh, yeah, but don't worry. He's only going to be staying with you for 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. Oh, only 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, that's
you're going to love it, unless he kills you. Okay. I got to go. Happy summer. Arriba, arriba!
Well, how about that? I don't even know what to say. I'm not sure what to make of any of that. Oh, my goodness. So Donald Trump, I guess, just bought it on the street. El Chapo got him. And now he's coming to my house. Okay, that's a comforting feeling. That he's on his way. Yeah. How about that, Mike? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's gonna happen now. He's coming, I guess. Maybe his music. What about that music? Like I guess the headline is that El Chapo's coming for me. I guess I can't lose. I can't get too caught up in the music into that. Yeah, I guess that's what I should focus on more, is that this maniac is on his way to get me. My friends, did I tell you about the Sharpling and Worcester live shows? Do you know about them? Do you? Well, if you don't, you best know about them. You guys got all these people saying, how do I help the best show? Well, Andrew Dice Clay's wife, what you do is you come see Sharpling and Worcester live. We will be performing in late August and early September, West Coast shows. Thursday, August 27th in Seattle, Washington, at Numo's. Tickets are on sale. And you can get tickets by going to stereolaughs.com. That's stereo, the word stereo, and then LAFFS.com. Thursday, August 27th, Seattle, Washington, Numo's. Saturday, August 29th, Portland, Oregon, at Doug Fir. Thursday, September 3rd, in San Francisco, at the Great American Music Hall. And Saturday, September 5th, Los Angeles, at the El Rey Theater. Tickets are on sale now. They are selling. Shows are going to start selling out. I don't want to hear that you missed out on the shows. I'm telling you. I don't want to hear it. I couldn't get tickets. Yeah. I'm telling you right now. You come crying saying you can't get tickets. You forewarned is forearmed. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
That's right. That's how you help the show. You support these live shows. That's how the show keeps going. Sharpling and Worcester Live. August 27th, August 29th, September 3rd, September 5th. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. StereoLaughs.com/tour for more information. And again, that's Laughs, L-A-F-F-S. Head over. Get those tickets. Support the show. And right now, I want you. We played it a couple weeks ago. And there were technical problems and it sounded like we were in an echo chamber listening to the first 15 seconds of Smash Blocked, which was not meant to be the effect we were looking for. You know what I'm talking about, Mike? No. Please. No. Help me. Right? When he's like, smash, smash, smashed. Rah, 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 rah. Blocked. 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 No, it was not meant to sound like that. We were playing La Luz or La Luz. I don't know how to say it. La Luz. I can say Luz. La Luz. I'll say Luz. Luz. From their great album, It's Alive, we're going to hear the title track right now. It's on the Hardly Art label. Check it out. Oh, no, we don't hear it twice. Look, the song is so nice, we could hear it twice, but we have to do 30. 30 names on the old worst 100 list. The worst 100 fictional characters of all time. We're going to go like lightning itself for the next hour. And tonight, we will be doing the half hour of Power of the Best Show post-show. Rapid fire, unscreened phone calls. AP Mike will be here off of his suspension. For his outrageous yoga pants comment. The comment that sent shockwaves through the internet. Tell you, man, it's getting to the point, people. It's like you want no comedy here. You want none. You don't want Mike to goof around. Be Mike. Because it's a character. It's a character. He's a normal guy in real life. He's normal. Uh-oh, here comes Dudio. He's got a pink... What's this? This is how many I need? You're kidding me. We have to fill 58 slots on this thing? Well, watch this. You don't think I can do it, do you? Keep that door open a little bit. I want to hear the cheers when I fill this thing out. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Roxy in Los Angeles.
Roxy in Los Angeles. Do I know this Roxy in Los Angeles?
You do.
Well, how are you, Roxy in Los Angeles?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
I'm good.
That's good.
Are you still having fun in Lipstick City?
Yeah. It's summer in L.A. It's the best.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah, summer in L.A. And you got a half inch of rain. Are you okay?
Yeah, we're okay. We survived.
I like how it's this thing where it's like, hey, we're so scared that it's raining. It's like,
well, the thing is, it gets so hot, so the freeways are like really slick because it's oily. So like when it rains,
if I hear one more time about the oil, the oils come out of the road. Well. Everybody's driving 4 miles. I've been out there when it rains. People are driving 4 miles an hour.
I know.
All right.
I know.
Look. What, do you have anything for this worst 100 list, Roxy?
I do. I only have one, but I think it's a good one.
What is
it? I hope it's a good one.
Who is it?
Zach Braff's character, Andrew Largeman from Garden State.
Yeah, that's a very good one. Let's put that. Hey, Dudio. Dudio quit. He just quit. I just found out.
Oh.
Well, how about that, Roxy? AP Mike is suspended for his lewd yoga pants comment. When someone said they did yoga, and then Mike said, "Do you own yoga pants?"
I remember that. That made me feel very uncomfortable.
But it wasn't like going.
I know, but it's weird.
Look, yeah, it's weird. But he's trying to freak me out.
He's trying to freak everyone out.
Yeah. Did you laugh? You laughed though when he said it, right? Because you were like,
"No,
oh,
I
Mike,
didn't laugh."
You didn't. You
I did. Freaking... Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, sometimes that's called a creep laugh. In the business, you call that a creep laugh. There's laughs. Sometimes you laugh. Remember, like when in the movie Wild Bunch, when a duck crosses a street and everybody's like, "Oh, look at all the cars stopped," and then in Wild Bunch, everyone laughed when Ernest Borgnine shot that guy when William Holden shot the person, and then Ernest Borgnine just went. Sometimes you laugh because of things like that. Mike's thing was a little closer to that. So
agreed. Totally.
But again, I'll say this. It's a character.
I know.
Normal in real life. He is, trust me. He wouldn't be here every week if he wasn't. You think I'd be there with an actual weirdo like that?
I don't know.
You don't know? You've seen some of the people that I run with, my crew, right? Driving up Sunset. We drive up Sunset.
Your LA crew.
Yeah.
Drive up Sunset with the boys.
Just like Entourage.
yeah. Yes.
No, you can be in the car with us. I didn't say it was just the boys.
Thank you.
It'll be me.
Okay.
It'll be me, you,
Mike Kroll,
and who else?
Maybe Fogelnest? Maybe. If he wants to come.
Nah, I don't know about Fogelnest.
Oh.
All right, well, Fogelnest then.
All right, he's
Fogelnest can be in the car. Fine.
I don't know if he'll want to be in now.
He's in the trunk. Put him in the trunk. Right? No, he can be in the back seat. It'll be me driving. Where are you
I get
in the car?
Sick. Can I sit in the front seat? I get car
okay,
sick.
Fine. You're in the front seat.
Thank you.
And then it'll be. I'm still putting Fogelnest in the trunk. I'm putting Sparky Pop. Sparky Pop's in the front, in the back passenger side, and then Mike Kroll can be on the back driver's side.
Cool.
How's that? And with Jake Fogelnest kicking and screaming in the trunk. Just
what
like
about on the top? Like one of those like old. Plastic container thing you can take camping.
Like a Pope mobile? Like it's a Pope, like, well, you want them in a glass case? Like it's a, like I'll press a button and then money will swirl around in it? And
he
can try to grab as many.
He deserves to be in the trunk, so.
He has 60 seconds to grab as much money as he can?
Yeah.
What if the Pope had that in that Pope mobile thing? If suddenly the Pope's driving around and then somebody throws a switch and then like money starts swirling around in there?
I think more people would go to church, probably. So,
or more people would want to be Pope than at the.
Or more people would want
to
be the Pope
if you got to get in the Pope. If you got to get in the Pope box where the money swirls around. Well, all right, here we go. What is this character's name again?
Andrew Largeman.
Andrew Largeman, Dudio, are you back?
Yeah.
Andrew Largeman, I'm going to put him at number 37, right above Silent Bob. Well, Roxy.
Both New Jersey characters.
There we
Very
go.
Good.
It's a little New Jersey block right there.
Well, wonderful.
Well, thank you for the call, Roxy. I hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much. Have a good night.
And you have a great night.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, yes. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. This is Matthew in Chicago.
Matthew in Chicago. What do you got for the list, buddy?
I've got the judge from the Bob Dylan song, Joey.
Mike? The judge from the Bob Dylan song, Joey.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's put the judge from the Bob Dylan song, Joey, at number 79. Great.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Mick from Wisconsin.
Mick from Wisconsin. What's up, Mick?
Hey, I have a bunch of characters for the topic. It was a slow day at work, so I just wrote off all of the worst characters that I could think of.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
All right. So I'm just going to put out these two first because these ones I think I'm kind of on the fence about. Jay Gatsby from The Great Gatsby and Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye.
Now, these are very literary references. I don't know if I was reading online a guy, this guy Fredericks, who was just like, why do they mention TV so much? Right? Why do they mention
right.
Fine, what am I supposed to mention? Raskolnikov, you want him to be the... All right, at number one on the list, Raskolnikov. And number two, Humbert. Does that make you happy? Eggheads, these phony baloney eggheads?
Well, I have more...
All right, what do you got? Those are egg-headed.
Okay. How about the Smurfs, just all of them?
Smurfs are terrible, but they're more repellent to me. I'm going to skip the Smurfs. Who else you got?
The kids in the Trix commercials that won't give the punk kids, that won't give the rabbit any cereal.
Yeah, those are good. All kids in Trix commercials, because why would you not give the rabbit? It's a $3 box of cereal. Yeah, you know, Trix are for kids. It's like the rabbit would process that stuff better than the kids at this point. Number 86, kids in the Trix commercial. Anybody else?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to give this guy any more recognition than he already got, but a few weeks ago, that during the half hour of Power, that guy that called in and did his anonymous character, he may have been one of the worst characters I've ever heard.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
All right, and then...
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I got one for the topic.
Who's this?
This is Mickey from Duluth.
What's up, Mickey?
My wife is having a slip and slide party right now, so I'm just hanging out and babysitting.
Okay, let's put your wife here with the slip and slide party. Oh, wait, no. Oh, I thought you wanted me to put her on the list. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, she does not need to be on the list.
Okay.
No, my character for the topic is Guy Noir, Garrison Keillor's guy.
Very good. Number 24, Guy Noir.
Awesome, thanks.
Thanks, buddy. All right, here's a couple of mine. Let's see here. I'm looking at the list here. Jerry Seinfeld at number one. I'm going to let that stand. You got the hankering for a hunk of cheese guy at number two from the thing. I'm going to slide him down to 33. And in number two, we're going to put Billy Crystal Jazz Man. What do you think about that, Mike? Then number three, Johnny Rock from Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. Number four, the cast of Sons of Anarchy. Let's see here. I've been reading what people are writing online, and a couple of mine. What do you think about Ro April, Mike? Remember Jackie April's widow, who's always like, always crying, right? Wasn't she always like giving Carmella grief? Big D's wife.
Big P.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was... Well, should Janice be on it then? Still a good character, though. Yeah, I agree. Can you figure out someone from The Sopranos? There's got to be a... Who do we have from The Sopranos on here? Father Phil? I think we have Father Phil's at 49 on the list right now. We should find there's got to be a woman who would fit the list to be the female equivalent of Father Phil. Best show, you're on the air. Somebody said Artie Bucco. I don't know Artie Bucco.
I'm not sure who that is actually.
It's a warm and convivial host. Remember?
No, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm talking to Mike, you buffoon. Who is this?
This is Paul from Pasadena, California.
Paul from Pasadena. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I got a couple for the stupid list.
What do you got?
You get going. I got Mr. Slate from the Flintstones.
Mr. Slate from the Flintstones. He's annoying.
He's the worst boss ever.
Who else you got?
I've got E.T.
E.T., yes. E.T. will definitely make the list.
He's annoying. You just want to kick him, right?
E.T., number 47, right above Cotton Eye Joe, E.T.
Right on.
And then I've seen it keep coming up online. People keep hitting Great Gazoo. Great Gazoo goes right above E.T. at 46.
Cool. Have a good night, Tom.
You too. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Spoonie in Brooklyn. How are you?
Spoonie. Oh, the classic. It's a classic call. Spoonie.
Not quite Peyton Reed classic, but classic.
All-timer. All-timer. Spoonie. What's up, Spoonie?
I wanted to throw something on your worst 100 list.
No, what do you got?
Batman.
Who?
Batman.
Yeah. Wait, Mike is saying... Jerk. Mike says the character who got shot in the tub in... Which character is that?
I can't remember his name.
All right, Mike, get out of here. And he shuts the door for the 85th time. So, Batman. Why? Tell me why Batman should be on the list. Rich kid?
He's a rich jerk.
It's like a rich jerk?
He's like a rich jerk. His alter ego is just like a rich jerk. And then when he's a superhero, he's just a violent jerk.
Yeah.
Guy's on the spectrum. He's not like the great detective. He just throws money into every situation.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. You know what? Batman would be like if Donald Trump had a cowl. Right?
If Donald Trump was into ultimate fighting.
Yeah. Donald Trump into ultimate fighting equals Batman. Spoonie, you're 100% right. Number 85, Batman.
All right. Thanks,
Tom.
That's
going to set some people off. That's incendiary. Well, what do you think about that? Let me run a couple by you since you're such a good judge of people. The snot from the Mucinex commercial. Remember that one, like, Ralph Cramden-looking pile of mucus?
You know what? I don't remember that.
Okay, you don't know. What about the blonde dude from Street Fighter video game? Remember him?
Oh, yeah. That blow-dried dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the list.
Ken? Was that his name? Ken?
Oh, Ken. Very credible name.
Was it Ken? Anyone? Ken?
Yeah, it was Ken.
Ken from Street Fighter. Number, let's put him at 68. Ken from Street Fighter.
There must have been a lot of contempt that went into that character, because they were like, let's just make him some violent blonde American guy. What's the name like that? And they're like, Ken.
Yeah, Ken. Cookie O'Puss? Somebody put that on Twitter. They suggested Cookie O'Puss.
Out of principle, yeah, but now that just makes you want a Cookie O'Puss cake.
Yeah. Okay, so that you're saying no then to that.
Let's see.
Stifler from the American Pie movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
29 for Stifler from American Pie movies. Watto, people are saying. Watto from the Star Wars things, the offensive creep. Who's like
where he just kind of flies around on tiny wings like a gross Cupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see here. all right. Watto. Let's put Watto at number... Watto goes at number 73, right above Chris Gaines.
And he was a slave trader, too, but he was like a funny slave trader.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. Who else do we have on the list? Pillsbury Doughboy, somebody suggested.
Nah.
They're not moving you?
No. Okay. Doesn't inspire anger.
The General from the commercials. The General.
Yeah.
The General. Let's put the General at number 90. Right above Matt. Oh, no, that's too close to Mel. Let's put the General at 70, please. General from the General commercials at number 70.
What war crimes are in that guy's past?
Let's see here. People keep saying Junior from Smokey and the Bandit. It's not going to happen. Sorry. No, Matthew Perry from The Odd Couple? No. What about that woman who Matthew Perry dated on Friends? Remember the one that Joey hated so much? Remember her?
No, I don't remember that. I can't keep track of their romantic interests.
Studio, do you remember? Janice. Janice from Friends.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't hate her.
Yeah, okay. Let it slide then. I'm going on things people suggested here. Let's see here. Parker Posey in Dazed and Confused. Yeah, let's put her. What do you think of that? Remember her? Pouring ketchup all over the people, the kids.
The bully.
She was a bully. Let's put her, Parker Posey, at 36 from Dazed and Confused. All right. Any other characters come to mind?
I had a back burner.
Who do you got?
Remember Henry Chinaski from Barfly, Mickey Rourke's character?
Mike?
This is Mike's wheelhouse, I guess.
Thoughts? Mike will accept your judgment on that.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know it. I didn't see that movie.
Disgusting.
I was told Marty Funkhauser was not put on the list yet, the character that Super Dave played. Let's put him at 27. Let's see here.
Yeah.
Jason from Huntsville, Alabama, is suggesting Quentin Tarantino's character from Pulp Fiction. That's a pretty bad character.
I'm surprised he's not on the list already.
Yeah, let's put him number 13. Okay, right above C-3PO. Buckethead, I'm looking here for suggestions. The people on the Good Friends Kashi box, no. Captain Crunch, it's pretty bad, but not bad enough.
What about King Vitamin?
He's defrocked at this point. He gets no traction.
He's in exile.
Yeah, he nothing... The owl from the Tootsie Roll commercial from Tootsie Pop? No. Let's see here. Other suggestions. Damone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He goes in at number 8. Okay?
Yeah.
Damone from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. We got that? The Dell dude? No. Let's see here. John Goodman's character in the movie Flight. Did you see the movie Flight?
I did, where he was a drug dealer with the on-the-nose theme, the Rolling Stones song, Sympathy for the Devil.
The one where he's like, "You're on the dark side of the moon."
Yeah.
Right? Remember that?
That's like what boomers think a cool guy is now.
Number 23, John Goodman's character in... here's a good one. Luke Maxwell on Twitter just suggested... this guy who he operates under the name Jixby Phillips. He was one of the kingmakers over at the Special Thing message board, which was this this comedy message board that now I saw some tumbleweed rolling through there the other day. You know what I mean? Get it?
Yeah.
Tumbleweed roll through there. Not a whole lot of posts going up there. I think I saw a post about the third episode of the Jimmy Parton podcast just went up, one of the more recent ones. He suggested Sylvester P. Smythe, the Cracked Magazine mascot. That is fantastic. He goes in at 57.
That's a really good pick.
Yeah, that's a great one. Greedy Gretchen from Three's Company? No, I'm going to overrule that. Mike, do you know the Mucinex mucus? Yeah. 41 for that. That's too close to California raisins. Let's go to 61 for the Mucinex mucus, right below fake Space Jam Michael Jordan.
I Googled that. It's the green blob.
Yeah. Yeah. Weird hard hat. Pile of mucus.
The broadest stereotype, yeah.
Yeah. the broadest stereotype. Okay, Cliff, here we go. Dean on Twitter saying here, Cliff Paul, Chris Paul's insurance-selling brother. Yes, 41 between Richie Rich and the California Raisins.
Oof.
California Raisins, I have at 42. Wherever, just anywhere in there, if you can put Cliff Paul. Let's see.
Another rich jerk who just throws money into situations.
He does,
he doesn't have adventures. He just has cash.
Yeah. Somebody, Courtney Brooke, pitching the I learned it from you, Dad guy from the thing. No, he's – that kid sucks, and that guy sucks also.
They're in jail together right now.
Yeah, they're in jail for their father-son meth manufacturing business. That commercial was, I learned it from you. Well, let me teach you something new, son. And they go down into Dad's basement, and then they start making meth together.
Families can't testify against each other.
Spoonie, thank you so much for the call. You're top notch, and I miss you, and I'm so glad to hear from you.
Oh.
All right, great.
All right, we'll talk later.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
What do you got, Mike? Mike's got Calgaro, Orello, or Anello. Meadows' boyfriend, who gets whacked, charged with second-degree murder in a burglary in real life. I don't care what happened in real life. Mike, what are you, A.J. Benza? You're doing the Real Hollywood Story? Well, I got it. Seriously, bring back Sebastian. Bring back A.P. Sebastian. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Adam from Tampa.
What's up, Adam?
Got a couple for the topic, and I just wanted to let you know, my wife got me the box set for my birthday, and it's fantastic, and I love it, and I love having it.
Good, I love it. The Best Show box, Sharpling and Worcester, Best of the Best Show box over at numerogroup.com. And also, people of Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, do not miss the chance to see Sharpling and Worcester live this August and September. Tour dates are up at stereolaughs.com/tour. And it would be a mistake if you missed that. I'm telling you right now, don't do it. Let's see here. Somebody's saying Tommy Gunn from Rocky V. No. Who do you have for the thing, buddy? What do you got?
I have a couple. I'm going to start with one that I've been hitting on a couple weeks now. Richie Petry from the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Who, the kid?
Yeah, he's the absolute worst.
No, I'm not putting him on.
Just because he's a kid?
Yeah, he's a kid. What do you want?
He's pretty awful, though.
What do you think about Dennis DeYoung's character from the Desert Moon video?
How about Dennis DeYoung in general?
No. How about Dennis DeYoung from Desert Moon?
Okay.
Thoughts? No?
I'll go with that.
All right, you're out of here. You're bad news, Jack. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, this is Mr. King in Chicago.
Mr. King in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
What do you got for us, Mr. King?
I have a couple of contenders. The first is The Lawnmower Man from the movie The Lawnmower Man.
Interesting. Interesting. Thoughts? Dudio loves it. Lawnmower Man, I'll put in at number 94.
Excellent. Continuing with the theme of a mentally disabled person from a Stephen King movie, I have Duddits, played by Donnie Wahlberg in the Stephen King vehicle Dreamcatcher.
No, I'm not putting that on. I would put Stephen King's character, his farmer character, now from Creepshow. What do you think about that? Should he make it?
Borderline.
Borderline for you. Get off my phone, you dirty animal. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Brett in Jersey City.
Brett in Jersey City. What's up, Brett?
Hey, I got a couple suggestions for the
topic. Well, let's hear what you got, my friend.
I have the Blueberry Pancakes lady from Pulp Fiction.
I think we just got Quentin Tarantino from Pulp Fiction. That's enough Pulp Fiction for me.
Okay. How about Bob from Bob's Discount Furniture?
Well, that's a real person, though.
But there's the claymation version of him that's especially terrible.
Well, now you're just getting into the Bob's Furniture super fiction, or so you're way too into the Bobiverse.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
What else you got, champ?
The Howard Wolowitz's mother from The Big Bang Theory.
Now, she passed away. I'm not going to put her on the thing. That
okay,
woman died.
Okay, fair enough.
Out of what do you think about Derek? I'm not putting Derek on the list. Go ahead.
How
what
about
else?
Anything from a Primus album cover?
I do want to put the Boston Celtics mascot at number 9, please. Whoever suggested that is fantastic. Mark said that, right? The leprechaun. He's holding like a. He's got like a shillelagh, doesn't he? Out there, he's got like a basketball, but he's also got like a shillelagh. What's he gonna hit you in the knees? He's gonna kneecap you, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's gonna do.
I don't know. Who is that in that picture that just got put up on the chat, Mike? You got anybody, buddy? Anybody else?
I'm at it. I'm at it.
All right, we're done with you. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Who's this?
This is Officer Tom.
Oh, classic. What do you got, buddy? You got something?
I do. I got Lieutenant Terrence McDonough. Bad Lieutenant. Port of Call.
Is that the one of the best characters or worst characters, though?
That's the worst character I ever played. Worst cop character.
Mike?
Nick Cage totally lost it.
Mike, do you agree? I didn't see it. I didn't see the movie. Officer Tom is saying Nick Cage's character from Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. Yes? Mike agrees. I didn't see the movie. Two people have voted to move it forward. Let's put them in at 82.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Officer Tom. Please call and let's get you in here.
Okay, you got it, Tom.
You take
Thank
care.
You.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, this is DJ Terry T.
DJ Terry T, what?
I don't know why I'm calling myself DJ Terry T, but I think that's how you might know me.
That is, I've heard of you, yes.
You were mentioning Michael Kay before, early,
yeah.
Very, very early on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the cynics had played my show. That's all.
Yes, that's where I found out about him and you.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, can I contribute anything?
Please, by all means, let's hear.
All right, have you done it? Any Disney characters? Disney anything? I don't think you have.
I don't think so. Who would you suggest?
Oh, I have about a billion. But
all right, well,
I know my number one most hated one, and I know, please, the ladies out there, the women, I know you grew up on this and you love her, but Princess Ariel from Little Mermaid is just, no. No, that's not right. That's not a good message for a little girl.
You know what?
Because it's like she wants to, like, basically change, like, literally alter and change her body so that some dude will accept her. And then she loses her talent, her voice, her beautiful singing voice. Like, her beautiful singing voice, no, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, shut up and change your body for some dude. And don't listen to your parents. And that's like a lot
number six. Ariel goes in at number six.
Oh, girls, don't hate me. I know everybody loves Princess Ariel.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's so many racist Disney characters. I can't even get, there's like so many anti-Arab,
okay.
Anti-Asian, anti-Black. Like, it's like, I can't believe people don't, like, you know.
Don't riot.
They don't notice it. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God. And then there's even more, but I don't even want to get into it.
Well, should Wally Wackerman be on the worst list? What do you think?
No, he should be on the best list.
The best?
Wally Wackerman?
Yeah, I was thinking about putting him at 4 on this list. Worst of all time. I don't think. No, I'm not going to put him on the list.
I love Wally Wackerman.
Somebody just suggested Larry from Three's Company. No, he's one of the best.
Oh, no, he's one of the best.
Yeah. E-Trade Baby, though? Yes. Somebody just suggested E-Trade Baby.
The E-Trade Baby. Oh,
25.
My God.
Number 25.
No.
The E-Trade Baby's really? In at number 25.
Because he's like such a little pervert. He's like a disgusting. They make him, this innocent child, into like this grasping, greedy, also, you know, trolling for women's sexist pervert. Like, don't do that to a child. Yeah. Seriously.
What about Pie Oh My? What do you think about Pie Oh My? The horse from The Sopranos that Tony bought. Should Pie Oh My make it?
I'm gonna rule.
Pie Oh My was an innocent bystander.
There's so many good Sopranos. Well, I thought Father Phil was great.
Father Phil's on the list. Yeah, Artie Bucco, though. You're an Artie Bucco fan.
No, I love Artie Bucco.
Okay. Who else from The Sopranos? What about that one guy that Carmela had the hots for? That one goon.
What's his name? Arturo? No.
Arturo?
No, it's not his name. I know exactly who you're talking about. He was the guy from Italy, and he was the assassin. And he was like...
Yeah, that's who we're thinking about. The one with the ponytail.
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
But the thing is...
Furio.
But she had the hots for him. No, Furio had the hots for her.
Yeah, I meant that the other way. Sorry. Mike is mentioning the handyman. I don't know. Mike's I got to bounce Mike from this show. Do you know how to screen calls, DJ Terry T?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I do.
Well, keep your Tuesdays open.
I'm screening at screening calls.
Keep your Tuesdays open. The offer might come in.
I don't think at listener Caroline Avenue / male coloring has been able to get through, but I saw a tweet of the, they did a screen capture of how many times they tried to call through, and it was, at this point, they're over 100.
Okay, well,
we
had Philly Boy Roy on, and then I had
Reed on. Don't complain. I'm just saying, like, show's hot, man.
Can't help it. Show's hot. It don't make 2 cents, but it's hot. If I charged you $10 to get through, we'd be rolling in it, right, Mike?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
American Idol do that? Like,
what if we do that? Give Mike a credit card number, right?
Mm.
Let's see. All right. We got to keep this list moving, Terry.
I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you open up lunch.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Edwin for the topic.
Oh, who's this?
This is Paul from Brooklyn.
Paul, what do you got?
The neo-Nazi who draws the backward swastika on Morton Downey Jr.'s face.
Well, that is a fictional character. I'm tempted. That's a little meta. You know what I mean? If I'm going to put him on the list, I might as well put Fredericks on the list. Right?
He's a bit more real, though.
You think? No, I like Fredericks, though. I like Fredericks. I don't know why people are so down on Fredericks.
No, I love Fredericks.
I'm only down on him because he was complaining. He was calling me like, he was like making like I was like a dummy for only liking TV, for putting all these TV people on here. So what am I going to put on here? The Fleeter Mouse? Start putting opera characters on the list? Like that? Like this guy knows what he's talking about with opera down there, down in Newport Richey. Newport Richey opera is like the first scene in Rocky. Four dudes around a flaming garbage can. Right? That's what you call Newport Richey opera.
With the sunburn.
Yeah, with the sunburn. I just saw, I want to put the guitarist from Mad Max Fury Road on here. Right? Put him let's put him at 78, right above the Sonic guys. The driver from the Sonic guys. Who did you have, young man? I got off on a tangent.
The neo-Nazi in the airport bathroom on Morton Downey Jr.'s face.
I'm gonna respectfully pass on that one. Do you have anybody else?
Oh. That was all I had.
All right. Well, good night to you then. Best show, you're on the air. Hello?
Hey, Tom?
Yes.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Who's this?
This is Alex from Toronto.
Alex from Toronto. What about Yosemite Sam? Or no, like Yosemite... Pepe Le Pew, I think, right?
I think Pepe Le Pew would be the one who gets it.
Pepe Le Pew gets Pepe Le Pew in at number 45, please. Right below the Six Flag guy. Keep it in the Warner family. Go ahead. Who do you have, young man?
I'm not sure. I don't know everybody who's on the list, but what about the half man from Two and a Half Men?
The one kid I was going to put on John Cryer's character, actually, who I think is worse.
That was actually my first idea.
Let's put him in at number 9. We're going to put him at number 90 because he's a mooch and he's a sleaze and he's like a sexual predator, right? It's one of the creepiest characters I've ever seen. Thanks, bro. Anybody else?
I don't know if you'll like this one, but Maxwell Klinger from MASH.
Look, MASH is off limits. Now,
okay.
We're in the Charlie Morgan era of the show. Goodbye. Best show, you're on the
Charlie
air.
Charlie Morgan era. Hi, this is Mac from Austin.
What's up, Mac?
Hey, I got some characters for the list.
What do you got?
All right. She's a really terrible character. Denise Jones' character from that James Bond movie, Dr. Christmas Jones.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Okay. Then there's also a really lame 90s comic book character. It was their attempt to be cool. He was from Gen 13. His name is Grunge.
I don't know it. If somebody can back me up on it, it's, I don't know. What about the robot dog from Doctor Who? K-9. Right? Dudio?
Sounds bad.
Dudio loves it. I can't do it for Dudio's sake. Dudio loves Doctor Who. I don't know what he's thinking out there. I told him the only good doctor is the Sixth Doctor. Right? You know what I'm talking about.
I hear you, but I don't.
So, what else you got, buddy?
And then Terry T kind of touched on this, but the racist crows from Dumbo.
Oh, the racist crows from Dumbo. Somebody just said Rodney Dangerfield's character from Natural Born Killers was nauseating. We're going to put him at number 72, please. Trojan Man, somebody just said. No, that's Mike's list. Trojan Man. What do you think about Cookie O'Puss? Do you have any feelings about that?
I agree. I kind of want a Cookie O'Puss now.
Yeah, you know what? I think you might be right. I think you might
He's
be
effective.
Right. He's effective. Uh-huh. I think you might be right. Oh, the bee from Bee Movie. Barry the Bee from Bee Movie. So let's put him at number 35, please. The bee that Jerry Seinfeld did the voice for. Remember that? Trell from Battlefield Earth, somebody sang? I don't know. James from The Best Show. He's not one of the worst. I still feel like Pillsbury Doughboy should be on this thing. Oh, here's a good one. Somebody just said the kid who bought Pee-wee's bike in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, that little twerp. No, it wasn't Francis. Francis boosted the bike. Then they sold it to that little Hollywood actor. Remember? Come on, Dudio. Get your head in the game. Dudio's too busy defending K-9 out there. He's too busy folding his Doctor Who scarf. He wears a Doctor Who scarf, by the way. He wants to be now called Hoodio. We finally get comfortable with Dudio. And now he wants to be called Hoodio because he's such a Doctor Who fan. Doctor Hoodio. Not going to do it. Are we done? Is our business concluded here?
We are. Have a
good night. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Pat in D.C.
Pat in D.C. Who do you got for the list?
First, I've got Desmond Jones from Obadi Oboda.
Well, he's working. He's got a job at the jewelry store, right?
Yeah, but he's just a dopey song, and he's kind of a dopey guy, and a bit of a creep.
Hold on a second. Paloma Basu just suggested Dave from the Chipmunks thing, the guy who just screams at the Chipmunks. guy's lucky enough to have some frickin' chipmunks in his life who, like, do songs and stuff, and they're funny. And we just yell at them. Put him on. Dave from Chipmunks, 28. You got that? Thank you. Who do you have, young man?
All right. Then second, I have Uncle Sam. Kind of a symbol of the, like, he's the personification of the man and also of, like, American imperialism and militarism.
Calm
and
down.
Just kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not putting all you right. on. Sorry.
All right. Respect your opinion. It's all good.
Well, look, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Just, I don't know.
Making me... All of a sudden, I'm Uncle Sam. All of a sudden, for not wanting to put Uncle Sam on that list. Dennis Weaver from the movie where he couldn't read. Remember that movie where it's the truck driver who couldn't read? I don't know. Yeah, the Charmin Bears. What do you think about that, Mike? You know those Charmin Bears? No, that's next level awful. Urkel should probably go on here, right? Urkel? No. I don't know. Maybe Fredericks is right. Maybe I'm as dumb as the day is long. Should we put Humbert? Should I do that? Right? No. Gotta stay true to my undereducated roots. Nobody taught me nothing, man. I can't help it. I went to community college, kind of school where you sit in the classroom, you don't know, somebody walks in, you're not sure if it's a student, a teacher, or a janitor. You're sitting in the classroom. If they walk in and they pick up the garbage can, and then it was then it's a janitor. If they walk in and sit at a desk next to you, then it's a student. If they walk in and sit at the desk at the front of the room, it's a teacher. That's where I learned. My friend. Ding, 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 ding. Happy days. No, I'm not putting Fonzie on the list. We got Mr. Peanut on the list already. You're stretching it with the Drake's Cake Drake. That duck's doing nobody any harm. He's making crumb cakes. You're going to pick on the Drake's Cake Drake. I don't know, man. I don't want to do a fourth part on this list. I'm done with this thing. Charmin Bears, put them on the list at 67, right after Mickey from Seinfeld. Let's see. Who from Entourage should make the list? Any mascots for rock bands? Who's a good mascot for a rock band that should make the list? Like Ugly Kid Joe or something. Didn't they have a mascot? Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. It's Steve from Portland.
Steve from Portland. What's up, Steve?
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I figured as much. Steve, are you coming to see Sharpling and Worcester live when we come through your town?
You're damn right. Lori and I will be there.
I love it. Thank you, Steve.
Oh,
do you have anything for the list?
I do. This is a little bit esoteric, Tom.
Let's see. What do you got?
Do you have an esoteric sidebar?
Yeah, we'll roll with it.
Okay. My nominee is Monte Tio's fictional dead girlfriend.
You know who also suggested that? Oh, Chris Gethard pitched that as one of the best characters of all time. Chris Gethard.
One of the best characters?
Yes.
I guess I can't compete with that.
I don't think that's worse. I think that poor woman is innocent. Right?
I guess she's just an innocent bystander.
Yeah. Q from Star Trek? What do you think about that? Q?
Q from Star Trek? That's kind of my wife's category. She's a Star Trekian. Can I ask her?
Oh, this baby from Dinosaurs, from that show Dinosaurs? Yeah, that's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. Five.
Q.
The baby from the baby from that show Dinosaurs. What did
Q
you
was answer? Awful. Denise
Q was awful. Okay, let's put Q at number 81. Q from Star Trek. Iron J from the Jay Leno show. Number 64, right above Mac tonight, which is ironic because they both have enormous chins. Anybody else in your household there?
No, we're fresh out of people.
Thanks,
here, buddy.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Dan and Carney. How are you?
Oh, classic. This is a classic caller. Dan from Carney, calling from the land of places where tires get fixed, where they deliberately pop your tire so that you can get it fixed. And you can. There's plenty of places to get a slice of pizza while they're putting a defective tire on your tire that they popped.
That's right. So I got a few for
Kristen, a.k.a. At Kristen Cheeks, just suggested Powder. Remember the character Powder from the movie Powder?
That one I don't.
Okay. Well, somebody just said, okay, Kevin Morton is the name of the kid from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Did we get him? Okay, Kevin Morton, the kid who bought the bike from Pee-wee, goes in at number 26, please. The Pure Prairie League mascot? Yeah, that's a good one. But it's going to be at the bottom. That's number 100. Pure Prairie League, the guy who was on all the covers of the Pure Prairie League albums. What do you got for us, Dan?
Well, I mean, the mascot for the Insane Clown Posse. Anybody see that one yet?
Well, that's a good one. Well, how about that? That goes in at 34. The Insane Clown Posse logo, the Hatchet Man.
And then I got a couple more if you'll indulge me.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay. One, this is, I'll do the less controversial one first. Wimpy from the Popeye comics.
Okay. Well,
50 years of one joke. I mean.
All right. Look, he's.
Yeah.
He's beaten down. Wimpy's depressing to me.
And then this will be the controversial one. I'll leave you with this one. But the later seasons of Hawkeye Pierce on MASH were just really tough.
Look, you know that all MASH characters are off limits now. This is the Charlie Morgan era of the show. Isn't it amazing that...
That's fair enough.
Imagine this, Dan. You find out that Spike is going to stop calling the show, right? For the most part. That... Whatever troubling obsession he had with this show has now been swapped out for something. God only knows what now, right? God have mercy on whoever is now the object of his attention. But then imagine if I told you, oh, yeah, don't worry, though, because Harry Morgan's son is going to take his place, right?
Absolutely right. And I got one to make it up, Tom.
What do you got?
Okay, because thinking of Spike, I think of Doo-Wop.
Yeah.
And Bowser is a character, no?
Nah, Bowser's not going on the list. He played Woodstock, for God's sake.
All right. Well, you know, I did my best, Tom. Thanks for taking the call.
You gave your best, but I guess your best wasn't good enough. Goodbye. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's Perry from Kansas City.
Perry, what do you got?
I've got a few.
What do you think about troll dolls? Should troll dolls be?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
No, no, no. Troll dolls. Just all-encompassing troll dolls.
Yeah, I think that because you got to include, like, the pencil toppers.
I'm going to hold off on that. I'm going to hold off. What do you got for me, buddy?
The first one I posted to Twitter, but I feel strongly about it, and that's Lady Elaine from Mister Rogers, that puppet.
Yeah, they're just doing the best they can in their crumbling kingdom.
I know. I love Mister Rogers too, but how
great could their kingdom be? They got a train running through the middle of it, right?
That's true. Yes,
that's not how it was meant to be in their kingdom. You got a train running through the middle of the castle.
That's true.
What else?
What about Joe Millionaire from that?
reality show. Does that count?
No, I don't. That meathead. What's that? Like chopping wood now?
Probably, yeah. Or just it wasn't. He's a foreman.
What else?
Somewhere. Didn't he do construction? The Noid.
The Noid. Okay, yeah. People have kept saying the Noid, and I got to agree with that. Noid goes in at number 83, please.
He makes your pizza cold.
Yeah, though. No, we got him. You don't have to defend him. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Best show, you're on the air.
Oh, hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Who's this?
Oh, DJ Terry T.
Terry T again.
Okay.
All right.
I hesitated naming this person because I love a lot of his show, a lot of his things.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Spacey.
For what?
In K-Pax.
K-Pax. Interesting. An interesting twist on the... I thought you were going to say Frank Underwood. Well, here's what I'm going to ask you. Who from House of Cards should make this list?
As a terrible character, like, is he terrible but good character?
Raymond Tusk?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah. Wait, that's the reporter guy?
No, he was the rich guy. He was like
the rich guy. Oh, he was playing like a... I can't.
Well, what about the guy? What about the guy who? What about his assistant? The guy who got who killed that woman? Who?
Oh, yeah. What's his assistant's name? Yeah, that
Doug
guy.
Doug Stamper. Yeah, Doug Stamper goes in at number 63. Please.
I mean, but like as a deplorable, like as a character, or do you think as he's written?
Just he makes my skin crawl.
Okay.
He killed that woman.
No, he's terrible. Oh, my God. Yes.
But what, anybody else? I got all, like, crazy phone lines going here.
No, I was just going to say K-Pax.
But I'm going to say K-Pax leads us to Doug Stamper, so that...
Yes, exactly. Kevin Spacey, who I actually do love.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye. Anybody from the McDonald's world... The Hamburglar? No. What about the... Like, Ronald McDonald. Right? Yeah, Ronald McDonald. Number 75. Ronald McDonald, please. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Dan from Chicago. I just have one for the Worst 100.
Who do you have?
So, I'm not sure. John Wayne Gacy had a character he would do at children's birthday parties.
Pogo the Clown, I know.
Pogo the Clown.
I've been shaking that one off for 2 weeks now. I'm not putting Pogo the Clown on this list.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's like, think about the source material. It's like, yeah, of course it's the worst. The serial killer came up with it.
Well, is it the worst because he's doing it, or is it the worst?
It's just the worst.
Okay.
Thank you.
What?
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
And we are doing the half-hour power tonight, so half hour, 30 minutes of unscreened rapid-fire calls coming up in a few minutes. Who do you got for the list, buddy?
I got two music-related ones for you. First, you asked for a mascot, and I'd like to put out there the Grateful Dead Bear.
Let's just, you know what we're going to do on this? Should the Grateful Dead bear or the skeleton be on? Like, all those Grateful Dead mascots, who are they?
I only know the skeleton and the bears, but...
Okay,
I'm
the Grateful Dead Dancing
Dead
Bears, number 50. Right below Father
one.
Phil. And what are the other Grateful Dead logos, Mike? The turtle from Terrapin Station goes in at number 51, back-to-back. And who else, Mike? The guy smashing the ice cream cone on his head from Steal Your Face. He goes in at 55. Right? Europe 72. And who else? Nah, he's not interesting to me. Thanks. You got anybody else, buddy?
Yeah, I think we should have a David Bowie character on there.
No, we shouldn't. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I got a quick one for the topic.
Let me just check here. Kristen just also said, and somebody's backing her up here, Michael from the movie Michael, the angel that John Travolta played in that movie. What do you think about that?
That movie sucks, so sure.
I'm more likely to go with Chet from Weird Science, who she also suggested. I'm going to put Chet at number 39, please. Cliff Paul's at 39. Okay, well, is the first 50, I think, are closed out now, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm not that far into it. Mike's... Sorry, Mike. Okay. Who did we just say? Chet? Yeah, let's put him at 59, right above fake Space Jam Michael Jordan. Who do you got, buddy?
Alien from the movie Spring Breakers, as portrayed by James Franco.
No, I'm not putting... That's one of the best characters ever. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Jeff from Brooklyn. Matthew McConaughey's character from Dazed and Confused.
No, it's insane. Best show, you're on the air.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi. This is Emily.
Hi, Emily. Where are you calling from?
Austin, Texas.
All right. What's going on tonight in Austin?
What's going on tonight in Austin? It's super hot.
Okay.
I have one for the list.
What do you got?
Do you have Sling Blade?
Oh, that's a good one. Sling Blade, right? What's his name again?
I can't remember his name.
Remember that, Mike? Sling Blade? 93, Sling Blade, because that was the start of a bad run, man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bad run. Okay, number 60. Do we have Mickey Mouse on the list anywhere? Okay, 56, Mickey Mouse. One of the most ineffective characters in the history of mankind. Right?
Yeah, he's gross.
Groucho Marx, should that be on the list? Lore, what about one of these old movie duds should be on here. You know what I mean? Like Laurel and Hardy or somebody like that. You know what I mean? Chaplin. No, I'm not getting, Mike wants me to do Three Stooges, like bad Three Stooges. Anybody else, Emily?
No, that's all I got.
Okay, you have a good night. Thanks.
You too.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is Evan from Saskatchewan.
Evan from Saskatchewan. What do you got?
Yeah, I got one last one for the list here, if you can. Everybody's favorite party animal, Spuds McKenzie.
Yeah, Spuds McKenzie. Put him at 62 for Spuds McKenzie, please. That's the Mucinex Blob is at 62. How about 89? Right. What's that? Got it. Right below Bud Bundy. Thanks, buddy. Best show, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
What about Fatty Arbuckle? Fatty Arbuckle.
No, that's a person, not a... We're not just naming terrible...
Okay, how about Stefan Urkel?
Who?
Stefan Urkel is when they tried to make Steve Urkel cool.
No, you're way too into it. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
Hi.
It's Jesse Wood from Las Vegas.
Chesterwood from Las Vegas?
No, Jesse.
Jesse. Sorry. What do you got for us, Jesse?
I've got... Paste Pot Pete?
Who?
The Marvel villain? Paste Pot Pete.
No, that's the dumbest.
Okay. Ricky Gervais as Derek?
No, that's offensive too. I think it's almost giving him too much credit by validating that dumb character.
Okay, I agree. How about Dan Aykroyd's character in Caddyshack 2?
I don't know it. I don't remember Caddyshack 2.
Okay, how about Vic Mackey from The Shield?
Yeah, I never watched it.
Okay, that's all I've got.
Thanks, buddy. How many slots do we have? Not many, right? 10? Oh, we can do this. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lucas in Chicago.
Lucas, what do you got for me?
I have Bulldog Briscoe from Frasier.
Well, who's that?
He was the guy who worked in the radio studio with Frasier, who was always hooting and hollering at Roz.
Dudio loves Frasier. What do you think, Dudio? You love it being on the list? Why don't I just put Frasier on the list? Should I just put Frasier on the list? He represents everything like pompous and... You know what I mean? I don't know. You're bumming me out. Best show, you're on the air. Hello? What about that old man? You know we should put on here is the one with the chin from Family Guy. Stonehizer. What's his name? You know that show, Mike, right? What's the one with the chin who says, like, giggity, googity? What's his name? Stonehizer? Sennheiser? I don't know. Well, whatever his name is, he needs to make it. Quagmire. Quagmire goes in at number... What's the highest number available right now? 41? All right, 41. I thought I had 41 marked down, but let's put him at 41. All right. Frasier does go on the list. The people are speaking. E. Hool said it, so it shall be done. 58, Frasier. Frasier Crane goes in at 58. All right, let's go back to the phones. We're closing this out. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Tom in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
What do you got for us, buddy?
The old man from Pawn Stars.
You know what? I'm going to put him on because he is. He's definitely. There's a performative thing there that he's not actually like that in real life. Should we put him or should we put the son on? Not cue ball. You know, the what's his name? Ricky, the dumb one who's always like who thinks he's better than Chumley.
Right. But see, the old man, I think...
Oh, wait. I'm not putting anyone from that. I'm putting the ones from, what you call it on, Hardcore Pawn. We're putting all three members of that family on this list. Should we put them on as an ensemble, or should they each get their own slots? What do you think, Mike? Like, one slot. Separate slots. Okay, what's... All right, Dudio, I'm going to ask you... What's the highest available slot? 57. Well, what I'm going to ask you to do, Dudio, is to move Shia LaBeouf, who's at number 20 from Indiana Jones 4, to number 57, and then we're going to slot in at number 20, Les from Hardcore Pawn. Does that make sense? Then, what's available after 57? 61. We're going to slot into that. We're going to slot the son, Seth, from Hardcore Pawn. Then the daughter is not... She's the most harmless of the three. 87 is available. Put Ashley from Hardcore Pawn at 87. Thanks for getting us there, buddy. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. This is Zach from Los Angeles.
Zach, what do you got for us?
All right, I've got two. The first one is Principal Fry, the attention teachers and students guy from SNL.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that because I saw that guy in the hallway at SNL when we were doing Seth Meyers, and he is pretty much bigger than me. So, yeah, he's not going anywhere on the list. He could have laid me out with a flick of his pinky. I would have been unconscious. So just for sheer self-preservation. Go ahead. Who else you got?
My other one is Karnak the Magnificent.
Karnak. No, I like Karnak. What about the Billy Mack from Take the Money and Run? What do you think about him, Mike? He's the detective down in Texas. Remember? Billy Mack is a detective down in Texas. Don't you know he knows just exactly what the facts is? He ain't gonna let those two escape justice.
He makes his living off of the people's taxes. What's the most available, highest available slot? 69, Billy Mack from Take the Money and Run. Who do you got, buddy? Anything?
My last idea is Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, I'm not putting that on the list. Anything, Mike? How many more do we have to go? Four more to go. We can do this. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Shannon from Toronto.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Your phone's not great right now, but we'll make it happen. What do you got for me?
I got Cousin Larry from Perfect Strangers.
I don't know. Some people have suggested that. I think I'm going to, I don't know. They don't bug me that much.
What? Okay, what about Mark from Home Improvement?
Which one's that?
The youngest one.
Man, that one's pretty annoying. What about that old man with the fence?
Oh, fence Wilson. Face.
What's his name? Fence okay. Face?
Yeah, Fence Face.
Fence Face from Home Improvement?
Yeah.
With his fence-based wisdom, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I pick.
What slot is available? I don't know. I'm not putting Fence Face on there. I'm sorry. You got anybody else?
Oh, that's okay. I had Mr. Clean, maybe.
Mr. Clean. He's a little smug. I don't know. Doesn't go all the way there, though.
Okay. All right. I'll work on it for next time.
Thank you.
No.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Tom. How you doing?
Oh, Rudy from the movie Rudy. Right? This is what I'm going to ask you to do, Dudio. What's the highest available slot? Okay, we're going to switch Lois from Goodfellas, who's at 12. She goes all the way down to 71, and Rudy goes in at number 12, please. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, Tom, how about Long Duck Dong from the movie 16?
Yeah, that's a horrifyingly hurtful character. Who? What's the next available slot? 80, Long Duck Dong from 16 Candles. All-time worst characters. He's going to get moved up higher. Switch number 22, please. Jim from The Office with the... 81 was the next slot? 80. So Jim from The Office goes all the way down to number 80. Long Duck Dong goes in at number 22, right next to Mickey Rooney's offensive character from Breakfast at Tiffany's. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Tom.
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Sharpling, I've got two suggestions.
Who do you got? Let me just tell you something, though, first. I want to just tell you something. Sure. And you listen up.
Sure.
You listen good. Okay? If I can only find it here. Here, this is what I want to tell you. This is what I want you to, where are you calling from?
Sacramento.
Sacramento. Well, imagine you lived in New York City. This Saturday, July 25th, 9:30 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater. Get Real with Bridge and Tunnel. That's an improv sketch troupe. You already got yelled at once for getting that wrong. Never going to do that again. Featuring Dudio, a.k.a. Dr. Hudio, Jason Gore, and Kristen Bartlett. Bartlett? I'm doing 800 things. I know your last name. My head is oatmeal right now. Kristen Cheeks. Oh, if you guys only knew what it took to put this show together. The things I'm doing right now. I feel like one of those precogs needs to go lay down in the warm water. Remember that movie, Majority Report? That's where I'm at right now. I got to go lay down, Minority Report. Get Real with Bridge and Tunnel, the sketch troupe, this Saturday, July 25th, 9:30 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater. Their special guest is going to be Josh Patton from SNL's Weekend Update. So do not miss that. People can get more information where? BridgeandTunnelNYC.com. They're very funny. Do not miss it. Now, from Sacramento, that show is off of your entertainment calendar. But what do you have for the list?
I've got two. I've got from The Simpsons, State Comptroller Atkins.
No, that's madness that you'd suggest that. What else you got?
And from Godfather 3, Mary Corleone, played by the venerable Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, I feel more sorry for her with that. I'd put George Hamilton. Yeah, thanks. Best Show, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Tom.
How many slots left? Two. Okay, what do you got for me, buddy?
I was thinking Orko from He-Man.
I don't know it. I'm not seven. Best Show, you're on the air. Hello? Hey. Nope. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how's it going? Are there still some slots left?
What do you got? One more slot. Give it to me.
Hey, first off, it's Z-Man. And,
Z-Man. I know what you're going to suggest.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, Wally Wackerman. Right?
No, I don't think it. Number four, really?
Put him in at number one, Wally Wackerman. let's just be honest. Let's just do it. Right now, you just say number one worst fictional character of all time, Wally Wackerman. If you say it, he'll be number one.
Why would I ever want that?
He'll top the list.
Of the worst.
Of the worst, but he'll be the top.
Yeah, I don't think that's convincing me.
Okay. You can press the button right now, and this character will... This might be the only list Wally Wackerman ever tops, other than the 10 most wanted.
So it goes down in history for the worst reason possible.
Yeah, except for the only list he'll ever top with you is the most wanted, right? When you start holding up liquor stores with a gun popping out of Wally's mouth. Hey, give me all your money! Right?
This is a stick-up!
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, so I guess...
Did you hear Peyton Reed earlier?
No, that was great. Yeah. I thought Ant-Man was wonderful, one of the best Marvel films.
Yeah, he answered, and he took on the question about why didn't he have orange hair in the movie.
Oh, yeah, I lost my connection at that point.
Yeah.
So I'll have to listen on the archive.
So what do you got for the list, Z-Man?
Well, people probably wouldn't expect me to nominate a puppet, wanting you to keep those off the list. And I think Sesame Street is one of the greatest shows ever and benefits it's given for kids. But,
Just say it.
The Ernie statue, who Bert and Ernie mean Egypt, I know for a fact that he is a nightmare-inducing character on a children's show.
The Ernie statue?
Yeah, I don't know
the
if you ever saw
that
sketch.
The hell is that?
If you Google it, you'll see him, and he comes to life and scares them.
You want to know what? I'm going to trust you, because Z-Man, you've earned your keep on this show.
I appreciate that.
So you got two on the list. What's the highest slot? 95, the Ernie statue. So you got that in at 95, and then you got your own creation, Wally Wackerman, at number one.
No, I thought Seinfeld.
Isn't that what you said?
No, you said that.
I thought you said do it.
Look,
this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to say Wally Wackerman just goes in. Look, just say the word, my friend.
Let's just forget I called.
What if I threw $75 your way? If it just, you don't know, a little money order for $75. Oh, somebody just sent that picture. Holy moly, that is worse. That is terrible.
Yeah, you should see the sketch.
I never will. I never will.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Best Show, you're on the air.
This is what I'm going to do.
Best Show, you're on the air. One more slot to go.
Yeah, how about, since you were going for characters and songs, how about Van Owen? From Warren Zevon's Rolling the Headless Thompson Gunner.
I don't know. Do I mind that song? I don't mind that song. Might be one of the few Warren Zevon songs I like.
It is, but...
Nope. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, I got two for the list.
What do you got?
Franklin Hardesty from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No.
The Bozo brother in the wheelchair.
What else you got?
Herman Munster.
Herman, I'm not putting... Okay, goodbye. Did we ever put Pillsbury Doughboy on? Then he goes in that final slot, that creep. Weird nude pastry. Are we done?
We're done. The top worst 100 list, we'll put it together and we'll put it online and everybody can check it out. And show went a little long tonight. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week. Want everybody to know that, again, Sharpling and Worst are playing live, West Coast, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. Do not miss these shows. We're not coming back through anytime soon. Who knows when, if ever. We busy schedules. We got so many more places to get to. I don't know when we're going to get back to any of those cities, if ever. Do not miss these shows. StereoLaughs.com/tour. And I know the tickets are selling. Do not miss out on getting your tickets for these shows. I will see you there, and I will see you back here next week at 9 p.m. Stay tuned for the half hour power coming up in a matter of minutes. I appreciate it. And on the way out, I'm going to play something by the band Kinski, who have a great album out now on Kill Rock Stars, new album. It's called 7 or 8, and the song we're going to hear is called Flight Risk. Let's check this out. Half hour power coming up in a matter of moments. Good night, everybody.